Good Monday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Weather definitely has turned as it continued to get colder and colder yesterday afternoon. We're more seasonable now with the temperatures we're seeing. Starting the morning chilly, there are frost advisories out for 17 different counties in North Dakota. Our temperature is up so far this morning. We will drop a little, but I don't think we're going to get anywhere near the freezing mark because right now we are 44 degrees at our WDAY studios, high atop I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the northwest at 8. Today's high temp, only 60. The same tomorrow. Grab a jacket as you head out the door, especially if you have to do any work outside or maybe wait at the bus stop. It's going to get chilly out there. A little bit warmer on Wednesday, 65 for the high, but we won't get back up into the 70s until the weekend, and there's a chance of rain over the weekend. It's Fire Prevention Week, and the Fargo Fire Department's taking part in the nationwide Charge Into Fire Safety campaign. This year's focus is on preventing fires caused by lithium-ion batteries found in everyday items like phones, laptops, and power tools. Firefighters remind you to buy only certified products, charge devices safely, and recycle batteries properly to prevent overheating or explosions. You can learn more about the campaign and find recycling locations at firepreventionweek.org. The Cass County Sheriff's Office has partnered with Essentia Health Trauma Program to launch a new field medical course for deputies. The 8-hour training covers casualty care, medical assessments, and hands-on exercises with life-saving equipment. 50 deputies have already completed the course, with 20 more set for training this week. Sheriff Jesse Johnner says the program gives deputies the tools to assist rural first responders and save lives during critical incidents, including active shooters or mass injury situations. A man was killed, and the vehicle he was in was hit by a train in Grand Forks County. Happened around 10 Saturday night, 3 miles west of Grand Forks. The name of the 76-year-old man has not been released. The State Patrol is investigating what led up to that crash. A man was hurt in a crash in Ottertail County Sunday afternoon. The State Patrol says a man lost control of a car on Highway 210, entered the ditch, hit a power pole, and rolled. 50-year-old Fergus Falls man was taken to the hospital with unknown injuries. North Dakota wants to help employers attract workers through new relocation grants. The state's Department of Commerce says relocation is one of the largest barriers for employees inquiring about new positions, which increases workforce shortages statewide. Employers can now receive up to $5,000 in matching grants for each eligible new hire. Applications for the grant program are open until June 20th, 2027, with more details available on the Department of Commerce website. If you're a North Dakota resident, you can increase your financial literacy through a new state-run program. The Bank of North Dakota's Smart With My Money program offers a free financial checkup and personalized learning recommendations. Officials aim to make North Dakota the most financially literate state by 2027. North Dakota Department of Environmental Quality has ended monitoring for harmful algae blooms this year. The state's monitoring program typically runs May through September, as officials keep watch for the toxic substance for both in humans and in animals. Minnesota is launching a family and medical leave program. Minnesota workers will be able to take up to 20 weeks off work each year when the tax-funded program launches January 1st. The program will have about 400 staff and is expected to cost about $1.5 billion in its first year. About 12,000 to 15,000 people are expected to use the new benefit. Events like having a child, serious illness, or caring for a sick family member are eligible for coverage. A suspicious package caused a brief emergency alert near the Vikings facility. Egan police sent out an emergency alert yesterday afternoon after a suspicious package was found at 720 Vikings Parkway. An all-clear was issued less than 10 minutes later, but details about the situation remain a mystery. And a University of South Dakota professor has been reinstated after losing his job for comments related to the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Officials say Michael Hook will maintain his contract as an art professor at the university. Hook's contract was going to be terminated for making a post on his private Facebook page regarding the Kirk shooting. He filed a lawsuit against the school, claiming his First Amendment rights had been violated, and a judge granted a temporary restraining order that allowed him to return to teaching. USD says since Hook deleted the post and issued an apology, it would move on from the incident and withdraw its intent to terminate his contract. 505. Time now for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Jace Denman. Good morning to you, Jace.
Good morning, Bonnie.
Little anxious moments there, I guess, at the MSUM game over the weekend, or were you not worried? Got the heart rate up a little bit, I imagine.
You could say that.
Yeah.
It was, well, it was a 34-17 lead for the Dragons heading into or at the early stages of the fourth quarter. It ended up becoming a 34-31 game with seconds remaining, and thankfully the Dragons held Minot State to a field goal attempt, which they made, forced overtime. Minot State loses the toss, which means MSUM gets a chance to decide if they want the ball first or if they want to go on defense first. And usually you want to go on defense first. That way you know what you have to match. You know, you can kind of determine how aggressive you're going to be. Mm-hmm. Defense gives up a first down because you start at the 25-yard line going in towards the end zone. But then they did come up with a stop, force another field goal. Minot State is up 37-34. And then on Minnesota State Moorhead's very first offensive play of overtime, Brady Perryman runs a post route. Jack has to shuffle in the pocket a little bit, zips a pass to him, caught, touchdown, drive home safely. To say that I was stressed was a bit of an understatement.
It's fun to have tight games, but yeah, it's nerve-wracking, but especially if it ends the way you want it to end.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, if it's going to be a tight nail bear like that, I would prefer that the team doesn't give up 20 points or whatever it was in the fourth quarter, as opposed to maybe being a back-and-forth game, which it was at times. But yeah, they got out of there with the win, so that was the biggest thing. Concordia on their homecoming, a little bit easier route. They beat St. Scholastica 49-21. NDSU over the number 6-ranked Illinois State Redbirds 33-16. North Dakota beat up on Northern Iowa 35-7. South Dakota State had to come from behind, I believe. I thought they were up at the half, but looking back on it, I believe they were trailing at the half. South Dakota State beats Youngstown State over there in Ohio 35-30. South Dakota ran away from Murray State. It was 49-7, I think, at the time. And then Murray State got a couple of scores late because I think they put the third stringers in. And then, unfortunately, James' Golden Gophers fell to Ohio State 42-3.
Ouch.
Yeah.
They got spanked. Yeah. Are they doing very well this year, the
Gophers? I think that is only their second loss. They lost on the road to Cal, and then they went on the road to Ohio State and lost there. So I think they might be 4-2 or something like that. I have to double check. Minnesota Vikings, they finished off their European, or at least United Kingdom, stay as they ended up getting a win against the Cleveland Browns 21-17. Carson Wentz had a perfect pass for that game winner with about 25 seconds left, I believe it was. He was 25 of 34 for 236 yards and a touchdown. Cam Akers added a passing touchdown, believe it or not. Jordan Addison and Josh Oliver each caught a touchdown. Jordan Addison was interesting. It was a coach's decision not to play him in the first quarter. Played sparingly in the second quarter, but in the second half, Jordan Addison was a menace for Cleveland. And the Vikings just kept being able to go to him. And, of course, yeah, that other guy, what's his name? Oh, yeah, Justin Jefferson. He's pretty good. Yeah. Jordan Mason had 13 carries for 52 yards and a touchdown. Eric Wilson led the defense with 9 tackles. Vikings now head into a bye week, so they get a week off after everything, and it sounds like they got to check out the facilities, too.
What?
You said there was a package, a specific package.
But they gave the all clear like 10 minutes later, still. So who knows? Sometimes people just leave things in strange places, which they should never do.
Major League Baseball playoffs continued yesterday. I kind of had to get caught up on how the playoffs went. I guess it would have been Friday then. Or maybe it was just Saturday. But on Sunday, Toronto beat New York 13-7. They now lead that series 2-0. I believe they beat the Yankees in game 1 12-2. Seattle beat Detroit 3-2, so that series is now tied at 1 apiece. Tonight's games, you can watch them on TBS, True TV. If you have HBO Max, you can watch it there as well. At 5:08, you've got the Phillies taking on the Dodgers, and that is a Dodgers series lead 1-1. Remember, these are best of fives. Milwaukee and Chicago. Milwaukee leads that series 1-0, so the Cubs look to try and even that one up. Sanderson Farms Championship down in Jackson, Mississippi, Thursday through this past Sunday. Stephen Fisk won the tournament at 24 par. He took home just over $1 million. Garrick Higo finished second at 22 par. Tom Hoagie missed the cut heading into the weekend. So I go from an overtime game at MSUM, which is the first time James and I have seen the Dragons in person go to overtime. Mm-hmm. That was followed up by my nightcap of activity with my daughter going to the Fargo Force home opener, where they went to overtime.
Yeah.
And they fell behind 1-0 in the first period. They did eventually get the game-tying goal. Then it was scoreless for most of the second into the third period. And then finally, in overtime, Forrest had one go off the post. It was really, really close. Mm-hmm. They go 3-on-3 there. They had one go off the post. Couldn't get it in. They go to a shootout, and they lose 2-1 in a shutout, or shootout, excuse me. That was like, basically, it was five different skaters that went, and Sioux City won that 3-2. So they get a credit for a 2-1 win in a shootout. Bryce Mattern from West Fargo, North Dakota, scored the Forces' lone goal. And A.J. White, one of their new goaltenders this year, saved 24 of 25 shots he faced in net in regulation and overtime. So they'll get back to it this coming weekend. I believe they'll be on the road. Timberwolves played the Nuggets in San Diego. Mike Conley, Anthony Edwards, and I'm drawing a blank on the third person that sat out of that game. But the Timberwolves did go on to beat the Nuggets 126-116. There were some good things to see, but I think they had, with three guys sitting out, they still had 17 guys on the roster that got into a game. So there's, I guess, no limit to how many guys can play during an NBA game. So they'll have to make some tough cuts going into the regular season, but they won, and I think they probably have another four games in preseason available. This week on our family of stations, first on Tuesday night, right here on WDAY Radio, James and I will be over in West Fargo, as West Fargo Cheyenne will be set to host West Fargo in volleyball. It should be a really good matchup, two of the top teams in EDC. 7 p.m. first serve, and then Friday right here on these radio airwaves. Moorhead will take on St. Michael Albertville, 6 p.m. kickoff with Larry Knutson. And then Larry will head back down to the cities once again as Concordia gets set to take on Hamlin. 1 p.m. kickoff with Larry for all the action right here on WDAY. Meanwhile, on our sister station, The Flag, Friday, James and I will be over in, I guess it's Glendon has the football field, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Dilworth, Glendon, Felton. Takes on Barnesville, the big rivalry there. Kickoff at 7 p.m. with James and I with all your coverage. And then Saturday, we will hit the road once again. MSUM takes on UMary at 2 p.m. kickoff, 1 p.m. pregame, so we don't have to get up super early to make it over to Bismarck. But we'll have all your coverage there as the Dragons get set to take on UMary. Mary had a big win against Jamestown this week. I think it was 44-20 or something like that. And then tonight you can tune into Primetime Sports from 6:30 to 7 p.m. with Big Game James McCarty and myself. We'll get you caught up on the wild, wild weekend in sports and anything else that pops up along the way.
And coming up at 6:10, Big Game James McCarty will join us. He will tell us who the winner of the Pick 6 is, brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters Ram Jack North. Was it an easy week for picks? Because we had 7 people got all 6 right, so it has to come down to the score of the Vikings game. I don't know. You didn't fill out a form, so I don't know
which. I printed it out and filled it out.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Let's see. I got that one right, 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 that one right. Yeah, I got them all right,
too. You would have been there, too. It would have been an 8-way tie, then, if you counted.
I had, what was the Vikings final, 21-17?
Yes.
I had 27-17, so I was within 6 points. So I did okay.
Our winner is even closer.
Of course,
we'll find out who it is. Coming up with Big Game James McCarty right around 6:10. Cooler weather continuing this week here. Looks like partly to mostly sunny today. 60 for our high temp. Good day to grab a jacket as you head out the door. West winds 10 to 15, 37 are overnight low, so I think we will stick above the frost level there, even though there's a frost advisory out. Sunny tomorrow, 60 for our high once again, mostly sunny, warmer, breezy on Wednesday, 65. And then we'll be in the 70s for the weekend, but a chance of rain both Saturday and Sunday. Partly cloudy, we have 44 degrees at our WDAY radio studios. High top I-29 in South Fargo, winds out of the northwest at 8. It is 5:14. We're going to get your national news in now from ABC, then a song of the morn and question of the morn coming up. 5:20 on a Monday morning. Welcome in Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman, and you. Thanks for hanging out with us. Partly cloudy, 44 degrees. There's a frost watch out for about 17 counties in North Dakota, including right here locally, but I don't think we're going to get that cold as we are 44 right now. We'll probably drop a few more degrees, but usually a 3-4 degree drop, so I think we'll stay above the frost level. Question of the morn, what life skill do you think every young person should be taught? 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Monday morning, 5:27. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends. Hope you all had a fabulous weekend. It was gorgeous Friday and into Saturday. I think Friday I saw one report that we got up to 92 degrees.
I don't know. It felt that hot.
But.
I knew that Saturday was going to be warm, and of course it got very intense calling the game as we headed to overtime and our team couldn't get a stop that we needed in the fourth quarter. But I know that I had to shift where I was standing in the parking lot for the tailgate, and I was talking to basically a family. I went to high school with this guy, and so his son is on the MSUM football team, and so I was standing next to him and his wife and their oldest, and I was standing over there, and I'm like, I got to stand over on the side of the trailer in the shade just because I was starting to sweat.
It was warm.
Because you're in the
warm
parking lot. Mm-hmm. And Ryan's over there, Ryan from Dave's West Fargo Tires is in charge of the grill over there, and he's going to work. And they had like 150 people is what they were expecting because they had a recruiting visit. And part of the thing that the families do along with this tailgate is that they usually provide food to those recruits and their families that come up. So normally you got a player, mom and dad come with, so you have at least probably one, if not two people for each, recruit that comes up to see the campus, et cetera. So they had that going on. We had the game, and then by the end of the game, I was just like, James and I were both hot. We're up in this booth. We're putting all our stuff away, and I had to go home and take a quick shower because I felt sweaty and yucky, and then we're going to go sit for another couple hours watching a hockey game. So, but it was interesting because it was one of those things where it was hot enough outside that the Shields Arena itself and their cooling system for the ice rinks have to work extra hard because it's so hot out.
Sure.
So, like, I really noticed it in the second period. You're looking down off to the right because the action was at the other end, and you could see based on the lighting that the ice, the surface of the ice wasn't just, like, solid ice. It was
wet looking.
It was wet looking.
Yeah.
So that system was really working hard. So, I mean, that sometimes makes the puck bounce different ways. And so sometimes maybe there's a player open and maybe they're going to be able to have a nice breakaway goal or something like that, but then the puck bounces off their stick. I mean, it's not as smooth as it normally is. So
it'll get cold fast enough.
It definitely will. But yeah, I was hot on Saturday. Yesterday the temperature dropped.
It was plenty. Late afternoon, it really
plenty windy out there, which was nice because I was able to wear jeans and a sweatshirt, when I ran my errands or whatever. But I had a couple boards blow off of the fence, so I had to put those.
Yeah,
so I had to attach those because it was blowing pretty windy. And then of course my grill cover was having issues trying to get that thing to stay on. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was pretty windy. And then like you said, the temperature dropped a lot. So
yeah, Saturday sun was out. It was really really breezy. Carly and I took Zara to the Pumpkin Patch, Buffalo River Pumpkin Patch, which is fantastic.
Yep.
I haven't been to that pumpkin patch since my kids were little.
Yeah,
so it was
same for me. Yeah,
but we were both so itchy because those darn Asian lady beetles and those little no-see-ums or flying aphids or whatever you want to call them, they were biting.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just like they were so bad.
Wait a minute. You'll be so happy to know.
Yeah.
So happy to know that in my mom's weekly email, she referred to the gnats as what we always called them. I know you constantly tell me they're bigger than the no-see-ums, but that's what we called them. But my mom put in the email, instead of saying gnats, she put no-see-ums.
I thought it was a common term when I brought it up on the air.
It wasn't in my family.
Because we had sand gnats, and they were winged, and they were flying. These things are itty-bitty. But anyway,
no,
these little suckers were biting, and it's just like your whole body just itched.
Yeah, and the funny thing is I haven't had a problem with those in years.
Yeah,
and then the minute you mentioned it, then I was outside of the parking lot. We had finished up our in-the-box interviews at Shields Arena. Then I started getting bit by them.
It must be a heat thing. They're terrible this year. Mm-hmm. I haven't detected them either, this heavy anymore.
And I tell you what, the sand gnats that we dealt with in Georgia when we were at training, I would say they were not, gnat size. They were more like the no-see-um size. They were very, very tiny.
Okay. And the gnats, I grew up on the sand gnats because we had, sand dunes or whatever not too far from us.
Uh-huh.
Those, they would bite, you didn't feel it, but they would draw blood. Like you'd get a little crusty blood speck off those.
In my opinion, or in my lifetime, I've always referred to the little tiny no-see-ums as just gnats. Because like I said, when I Googled that term, it is kind of a general term for the biting midges and everything else. So, I mean,
Potato, potato.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, exactly. I mean, I know. I mean, it wasn't that I didn't know what, you know, the type of bug you were talking about. I had never heard that term before. But yeah, my mom even now refers to them as that.
Oh, that's
so funny. So congratulations.
Did my name make the family newsletter or not?
No, she did not mention your name, but I knew the no-see-em. So, I mean, you'll have to message my mom and tell her that. You know,
I feel left out. I'm not part of the family yet.
Exactly.
And then I was watching WDAY television yesterday morning, as I do every weekend morning, and I saw them saying that the winds were going to kick up. So I thought, I'm getting out there to do my 3-mile walk. I'm about, must have been about 3 blocks from home. And boom, wall of wind just hit. And I was glad that I was like in the last 3 blocks, because it is hard when the winds are that strong.
Oh, it is. And it's, you know, if you, unless you are someone that wears glasses all the time, so you can block that wind. I mean, it's for me as a contact lens wearer, it sometimes makes your eyes water. The big thing, a lot of times, you know, if it's wintertime or if it's summertime, the wind makes a big difference, because sometimes in the summertime, if you're walking with the wind, it seems warmer. And then when you walk against the wind, then it's cooler, then it's more enjoyable to walk. And then, of course, in the wintertime, it's just the opposite. If you're walking with the wind, you're like, oh, this isn't so bad. Well, you got to come back to the house against the wind with that wind blowing in your face. Then all of a sudden, it's miserable. So the wind can make a huge difference in walks. Just the temperature, the resistance you have, and if it's windy like it gets up here, well, then all of a sudden you've added about it feels like you've added a 50-pound backpack to yourself trying to walk that last mile.
It knocks it out of you. You get tired for the rest of the day. We won't see winds like that, west 10 to 15 and 60s the next couple of days here, right around 60 today and tomorrow. Question of the morning, what life skill do you think every young person should be taught? 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. One of the ones I thought, Lawn Man sending in, it would have to be age appropriate, but meal prep, how to cook, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, meal prep is good. I mean, I know that, you know, my daughters can handle some stuff. And
how to at least cook an egg. You won't starve egg and toast.
No, but sometimes they're too timid about a hot stove, and I think that is just because of lack of experience. I don't think that my daughters, either one, couldn't do that. I know Jaden doesn't like to eat eggs. I know JC does.
Noodles, whatever. But microwave works,
you know,
too.
And they're very good at microwaving, air frying. Jaden uses
that's meal prep.
Jaden uses the oven for making a pizza last night or whatever it is. So, I mean, they can make some stuff. Are they to a point where you can say, here's some potatoes, here's some onions, a steak, you know, make something with this and use the stovetop, use the oven, use the grill, etc. Not so much. I mean, it's going
to
be primarily
as they're able to make something and feed themselves. Yeah, all that matters.
Exactly. I mean, they can do some of it. They could be better, obviously, but, you know, JC likes to experiment in the kitchen too. So, I mean, if you give her some stuff and some time, she'll start with the recipe and then end with something.
She does her own little tweaks, but that's okay.
You experiment.
Did neither of your girls had like foods classes or cooking classes?
JC did.
Okay.
I guess Jaden wasn't interested, but, you know, Jaden was more interested. She took a driver's ed class where my oldest didn't take that class. But no, I know that my oldest, it was a double credit, or like it was like a 2-credit one, or maybe it was 1 credit instead of 1/2 credit. For that semester, and she absolutely loved it because she loved doing stuff like that. I would say, you know, in addition to food prep, meal prep, cooking, etc., and sometimes the cooking stuff, I mean, you're a prime example of this, you learn a lot of it at home.
Yep.
You know, and I learned some stuff at home, and then I just kind of took what I had learned at home and tried to make something better. I mean, you start with things like my sister always loved it when I'd have her over for spaghetti. And then I would just take our normal jar of pasta sauce because we didn't make our own.
No, that's
but then
fine.
I would start adding meat and cheese and onions and things like that to it to kind
to
of,
it.
You know, the old Emeril Lagasse, kick it up a notch thing.
Yeah.
But I think something that's really, really important. I know Jaden's taken a class this year. But like the consumer math, the bookkeeping, how to keep track of your finances, because a lot of times they don't know how to do that. And I think, as opposed to doing Algebra 2 and they're doing trigonometry, which I don't know, maybe that's for specialized people, but I think basic bookkeeping and balancing your checkbook or managing a budget, I think that's way more important than some of these other high-end classes.
That's what I wrote on my list, too, was cooking, laundry, and money management. Mm-hmm. Kevin and Fergus says, does a good work ethic and budgeting count as a life skill? Good work ethic,
good
too.
Good work ethic is true. Yeah, and there's too many times.
You can consider that a skill.
I mean, it is. I mean, because a lot of times, I mean, our parents would have said the same thing about us and our generation compared to them. we say it about our kids. I mean, the kids are different these days. You know, they're more tech savvy than we are, so they know how to do a lot more tech things than we do, per se, or that we had to learn later in life. But some of that communication and that work ethic, and some kids get that from different things they do in life. Some kids learn that work ethic from being part of an athletic team. You know, there's a lot of good work ethics that a lot of these players that we get a chance to talk to over at the university and high school level, that you really love to see their work ethic, because they're just working to get 1% better every day. So work ethic can, in a sense, be a skill that they learn, but there has to be something internal that allows them to keep doing that and wanting to.
Parents keeping on their tail. All three of mine have a good work ethic, but that's the way I raised them. That's the way my dad raised us, too. And he was a lot more harsh than I was. But, I mean, it matters. And then when you hear compliments about, you know, your kids from other people saying, you've got the hardest working, or you've got the best mannered, polite young person, you know, doing this or that, it's nice to hear.
I like the manners thing. I mean, sometimes it is hard because... You know, a lot of times, you know, sometimes, in my opinion, sometimes once you turn 18, you know, kind of everybody's an adult, so it's kind of all the same. But there is something to be said about respecting your elders and understanding.
That's what Mark said on our Facebook page, respect your elders.
And it's something that I think sometimes it has to click for a kid, but when you finally listen, maybe say, because there's always that teenage years where you
think
that you know just as much or more as your parents. But there's a time when you finally realize that your parents, your grandparents, they have more life experience than you. They've seen more things. I mean, still to this day, I go to my dad for advice about different things, especially, you know, home improvement projects or things that need to be fixed. Yeah. You know, he's a wealth of knowledge from that. I mean, my dad's a jack of all trades. So, you know, if he doesn't know how to do it, he'll figure out how to do it, you know. So, I mean, you have to learn, or at least teach your kids that skill to listen to your elders. They have a wealth of knowledge.
And courtesy and respect starts when they're young, not when they're teenagers or adults. What life skill do you think every young person should be taught? That's our Bonnie and Friends question on the morn. 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Looks like our friend Polly in Idaho on the line. Good morning, Polly.
Good morning.
What do you got?
Morning, both of you.
Yes.
Well, when I was in school way back when, they didn't have cell phones. We still had the landlines on the wall in the kitchen. And there was a class that was taken primarily by women at that time called Home Ec.
Mm-hmm.
And you were taught how to sew and cook.
Yep.
Balance a checkbook. And a few other things. I didn't take the class, but these are all things I learned later on that they did.
It's a great class. I had home ec growing up. Ours was cooking and sewing. And the sewing one, I don't recall ever having any of the boys in there, but quite a number of the boys did take the cooking part of the home ec class.
I don't know how much they got into cooking in our home ec classes in my high school, because it kind of got split in half, where the girls would go take the home ec classes, the boys would take the shop classes.
Right.
In the ag classes, right. And so then the boys would end up in FFA, Future Farmers of America, and then the girls had FHA, which is Future Homemakers of America.
Yeah, we had shop classes, too. I didn't take shop classes, but there were some girls that took auto mechanics.
We sort of had shop class. It was all just kind of general ag classes over there. So, I mean, you know, shop classes to me would have been more about small engine repair and things like that, but we didn't really get into that in ag. But then again, junior and senior year, I got out of those classes because I knew I wasn't going to work on a farm. So
yeah. Well, any kind of learning opportunities like that, I think, are good.
They had automotive repair shop, too.
Yeah, that's what I had, auto mechanics.
And wood shop and metal shop.
Yep, we had all that. The only one of those that I took was auto mechanics. But, yeah, girls could take those classes, too, and vice versa. The boys could take
Jay
the sewing and cooking.
Jay said it, though. You learn how to balance a checkbook, even though we don't use checkbooks anymore. Learn how to balance it.
Yeah, I actually wrote a check yesterday. Money. The neighbor kids came around. They were selling Christmas wreaths, and that's what they were taking were checks. So I'm like, hang on. I run upstairs,
the boys
and I'm
like
digging through drawers trying to find my checkbook.
We made a sale, but we got this piece of paper with some writing on. I don't know what she did, but she couldn't Venmo us.
No, and there's a couple. I probably write 10 checks a year, so I kind of hadn't. I knew which drawer the checkbook was in. I just hadn't used it in a while, so I had to dig it out. Plus, I'm going to need it again anyway.
I'm trying to remember where mine is. I think mine's upstairs. I had a couple medical bills I couldn't electronically pay because you went to their website and it said enter invoice number, and I'm like, It doesn't have an invoice number. How am I supposed to pay it?
Yeah, but nowadays, most you're right, though. Most kids don't have checks.
No, I mean, because...
And they'll have to go to the bank. If for some reason, once in a rare occasion, they might need a check for something, they have to go to the bank and the bank cut them a check. My kids have had to do that.
Either that
times.
Or they can just have mom and dad write a check because they still got a checkbook.
Yeah,
that's Let me
true.
Find it here, kid. I got to write you a check here.
I think the checks are going to go away one of these days. You know,
I think so
probably
too.
Probably within the next 15 years, 20, yeah. 20 years for sure they'll be.
Well,
gone.
Because the check is just it's a paper version of what's now is electronic transfer.
Right.
You know,
right? Paulie, have yourself a good day.
You too, both of you.
Thank you. 5:43. What life skill do you think every young person should be taught? 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Right now, your national news and sports from ABC. Monday morning, welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. Some freeze advisories out. Could see some frost in some low-lying areas here this morning. I don't think we're going to see it here locally. We're 42 degrees right now. We'd really have to take a deep plunge over the next couple of hours. Looking for a high today, 60. 60 our high tomorrow and 65 on Wednesday. Question of the morning, what life skill do you think every young person should be taught? 701-293-9000. If you want to weigh in on that, you can email us, studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Dave and Grand Rapids take care of each other as well as themselves. Yeah, that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Self-care, like,
yeah.
Right? The basic things that you should learn when you're young.
Yeah, and... Sometimes, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes it seems like some kids kind of go through
a greasy period.
Yeah, kind of.
Like
they kind of go through phases. But you know, my youngest. I mean, she's the reason I'm gonna have to remodel the bathroom downstairs.
But she just takes long showers. Yeah. No, but presentation too.
But,
like clean up your clothes, not like all crunched and not washed. Like you look good. And two, take care of others. Like watch out for your, you know, maybe elderly neighbors or relatives or something. Mm-hmm. Like, and just be kind and caring to people.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing. I mean, I like to say if you can be anything, be kind.
Yes.
Because it doesn't matter if it's kids or adults or what, because it's one of those things where you don't know what someone else is going through.
Yeah.
I mean, your simple act of being kind could mean the world to them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just something really simple to do, but not everybody does it. And some people are way better than it, to be honest, you know? And sometimes you feel bad because you're like, oh, what's this problem deal? Why are they driving so slow on the highway? And you come go past them, and it's somebody's grandmother that's, you know, they're, even my dad these days in his mid-70s now, he's driving slower than he used to just because, you know, it's kind of a reaction time thing, more going faster than he's really comfortable with. So they just set the cruise probably 5 miles underneath the speed limit or maybe 10, and they just cruise on up here then,
and
you know?
A lot of times people are just too much in a hurry. Like, slow down, you know? There's enough crazy and too much traffic out there as the city continues to grow. It's like you don't need to be going 10, 15 miles over the speed limit. Calm down.
Yeah.
Life skill you think every young person should be taught, Catherine says, how to handwrite a thank you note as well as sympathy cards. That's becoming a lost art. I taught my kids, like, some people.
I question my daughter's penmanship, all right?
That's okay. It's the thought that comes.
Yeah.
But I have personally been to, say, like, baby showers in particular, where somebody would be like, oh, so-and-so is not going to send out thank you cards. Thank you for coming, and thank you for your gift. It's like, somebody said that at my daughter's, and I looked at her, and she looked at me. She goes, no, I know that we write thank you notes. Mm-hmm. It matters.
Yeah.
Maybe this newer generation coming up, maybe they're not going to want them in the next, you know, 20, 30 years. But age and on up, we do appreciate thank you cards.
Yeah, I mean, if you can send a thank you card, and I know that my nieces and nephews have done that, like when they've had graduation or my niece got married this year. I know that we've gotten handwritten notes from them. And I think those, for me, that, you know, you don't need to, like, send me a thank you card if I send you a card for your birthday or anything like that.
But if
I mean,
you
it's,
give them
it's,
money or a gift.
Yeah,
then...
if it's a special occasion, I'm not saying you got to do it when if I give you guys a Christmas gift, which I obviously used to do with my nieces and nephews. Then I got too many of them. Different story. But I mean, you know, a lot of times, I mean, these days, I mean, sometimes, like, even my daughters, they just always text rather than say call. You know what I mean? Because that's kind of, the generation they're in, you know, and they just would rather just send you a quick text. And sometimes my oldest will text me a couple times, and if I'm busy doing something, I don't get to the text message because I haven't had a chance to check my phone. All of a sudden, my phone rings, and I'm like, what?
Well,
did you get my text message?
I prefer to text. My son, shockingly, likes to call. Logan likes to call on the phone. It's like, why are you calling me? Just text.
He's like, I just want to hear your voice, Mom.
But that's his, you know, That's his skill levels in dealing with the public. Like, he likes to talk, you know, face-to-face if you can have it, but on the phone or whatever, whereas I'm just a texter.
And the thing is with phone calls compared to text messages, you can easily take text messages out of context. There was one I saw, a replay of a skit with on Key and Peele, where one guy was being nice and the other guy was taking it as he was being sarcastic or something. So he was getting mad. And so it was pretty funny how they were going back and forth with each other. Because they would show the person individually, like, you are something else. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, thank you. You are something else, too. And then, you know, the one guy was getting mad. The other guy thought he was being nice. So it was pretty funny.
Yeah. I like the handwritten. Mm-hmm. I know my kids will, or a phone call. Like if grandma happens to give them money or something, they always pick up the phone and call grandma. Once in a while, we have like my mom's sister out in D.C. And it's not like we talk to her, but once in a while she'll send an email or a card or whatever. And I'll just tell the kids, it's like, it's acceptable to even email a nice thank you. Or once in a while, they'll do it to an aunt instead of calling. Mm-hmm. They'll email a nice thank you. And I'm okay with that, too. But, that's the handwritten notes are a lost art. But I would hope the sympathy cards would be.
Sometimes
people just shove, like, a business card in there, too, just so they have, like, an address where, you know, if they want to send thank yous or whatever, that they have that, I know.
I also think, too, I mean, we talk about, you know, handwritten this or that. But, I mean, the funny thing is that I don't even know what the status is really in schools about teaching kids to write in cursive anymore. I think that is something that has really gone away.
I think it has, too, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
maybe not in all schools.
The only thing I really write in cursive anymore is my signature. But then again, when I was in eighth grade, my teacher goes, yeah, you might want to just print things instead of writing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was terrible penmanship. And
I've got nice handwriting, but if I'm in a hurry and I don't really care, it's
James
messy.
Has got handwriting like a girl.
James has very – Ronnie has really nice handwriting, too. He does. I guess, I sign my name, but like when I write out our question in the morning and do other things, I guess I do print. I think printing is easier to read.
You might take your time. I get those sheets, and I'm like, what did she write?
Whatever. What life skill do you think every young person should be taught? 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Jeff on Facebook says firearm safety. That is a good life skill. Swimming, too. That's another good life skill to have.
Very good, yeah.
Janet says, avoid alcohol and drugs. It only leads to trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I like this. Barb says, good communication. And Doreen chimed in after that. She said, with eye contact.
Yeah, that is something that this next generation tends to not be very good at. And, I mean, I don't know that I've really taught my girls to make eye contact, but there's been something where, you know, I'm like, you got to look at me when you're talking to me.
This is my mom pride moment.
And it's probably because if my girls aren't making eye contact with me, then their mouth, you know, normally when I speak to you, then my mouth and my face, everything's pointed towards you. So it's easier to hear me and hear me articulate. If I got my, you know, I'm looking the other direction, well, then all of a sudden my words get mumbled, you know, and you can't understand me clearly.
I think this is why Logan is so good at it, because when he was little, it used to drive me batty. He'd be, you know, with basketball team or baseball team, and he wouldn't look at his coaches, and it'd be like, Logan, look at Steve when he's talking to you. Logan, look at Ray when he's talking to you. And I was on his case for a couple of years, and I think that's probably why he's got such good communication skills and makes eye contact with you when he's talking.
Yeah, and then I pointed that out to my daughters. Look at me when you're talking to me or when I'm talking to you, because then I know that you're listening and comprehending. Because if you're just looking around, like, I'm listening, well, I don't think you're catching everything. Because I know one of my daughters, she's done that before. And I'm like, what did I just say? Then you said this. I mean, she'll get half of it right. And you're like, you're not paying attention.
Yeah, it is a life skill. You're right. You got to work on that sometimes with the kids. 5:57, time to check in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. 7-way tie for our pick six. 7 people got all 6 games right, so we had to use the Vikings score as a tiebreaker. Find out who the winner of our pick six is with Big Game James McCarty. He'll be joining us coming up in about 10 minutes. Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North sponsors our pick six each and every week. We encourage you to get involved in that. Winner gets bragging rights, of course, as well as a very fine prize. Dino's in with your weather coming up shortly. We are WDAY Fargo. It is 6 o'clock. Good morning. 6:02, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has arrived. And boy, beautiful weekend for the most part till Sunday rolled around.
That till Sunday's wind machine blew in.
Wind and cold.
No kidding, man.
I saw one garbage bag. Somebody must have thrown it. I was walking out kind of by some apartment buildings, and my guess, it was a bunch of like paper. Maybe somebody had a birthday party, you know, wrapping paper. And threw it in the dumpster because that whole thing, it was just so light. It was getting blown all around that neighborhood.
It was crazy. Yeah, my toupee wound up in Sioux Falls.
Did they return it?
They did return it, yeah.
For a price?
It was, a slight price. It wasn't much.
I would have charged you for it.
Yeah. Oh, a big congratulations to our boss, Steve, for finishing
Twin Cities Marathon.
Steve, in your honor, I wore my Speedo to work today. So I'll be taking laps around the building in my Speedo in your honor. So congratulations. Congratulations to you.
Yeah, you set a personal record, too.
Yes, I saw that. Oh, yeah.
That's really it's a sight.
Oh, we'll have it posted on our online.
Your Speedo?
Me doing laps in my Speedo around the building. We'll have that posted later on our social media.
Steve broke 4 hours, and that was his goal, too, so that was cool.
Good deal. Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't as windy down there. Can you imagine running in the wind that we had yesterday?
No.
A marathon and that? No
I
way.
I finished my walk, and 3 blocks left. The wind picked up, and the last 3 blocks were hard enough.
No thanks. Well, today, not nearly as windy, thankfully, and we're starting out the morning a little bit cooler than we have the previous mornings. A lot of 30s out there. We're at 41 here at the studio, but 36 in Yulin, 36 in Hillsboro. Castleton, good morning. You're at 36. Moorhead's at 39. Grand Forks at 41, and Wahpeton's at 40. So not quite frost out there, but flirting with it. And we'll see a lot of sunshine today. Much less windy as well. We'll have highs around 60 with west-northwest winds about 10 to 15. Clear skies, another chilly one tonight. Upper 30s with light north winds. And tomorrow, sunshine, light north winds, highs once again right around 60 degrees. We do warm up into the 70s, though, for the rest of the week, but the winds pick up as well, especially on Wednesday with highs in the low 70s. We'll stay in the low 70s Thursday and Friday. And then as we head into the weekend, well, we start to see some changes, and I'll have those details coming up just after the bottom of the hour. So another dry, quiet weather week outside of a day and a half of wind around Wednesday. But other than that, another dry week. So great for harvest. But again, we need some moisture around here. We really do.
And I still think sunny 60 is nice weather. Granted, it's cool in the morning. But once you get up to the afternoon, anything you're doing outside, sunny 60, that's decent.
That's normal. That's about on target for this time of the year.
Oh.
Yeah, so we'll take it. Not too bad. Not too bad of a forecast this week.
Mm-hmm. What life skill do you think every young person should be taught? That's our question of the morning.
Oh boy. I'd say respect your elders.
Yeah.
That's number one. And manners, just, you know, manners and respect your elders. Yep. There's too many, and I'm not saying everybody, but just, man, you know, every time I see somebody, if they're a veteran, you know, if they've got a sticker or they're wearing something that identifies them as a veteran, I'll always say thank you so much for your service. Mm-hmm. It's common courtesy, you know, and so just manners and respect your elders.
Mm-hmm. And common sense. Can that be taught?
No, jeez. Now, I wish it could. Man, there should be a class that teaches common sense.
Some people just
that's you either have it or you don't.
I guess.
Yeah, but just manners and respect your elders.
There you go. 6:06, we're going to be getting your national news in from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. Have you heard about this local veteran-owned company called God Bless Vodka? Ready-to-drink vodka with natural flavors, no sugar, sugar-free, no artificial colors, zero carbs, just 115 calories. Ready-to-drink with 6% alcohol. Currently, they have 2 flavors, blue raspberry lemonade, and lemon lemonade. They come in 4 packs of 12-ounce cans.
Yeah, they're delicious. Bonnie got a chance to try mine probably towards the end of last week. And it's, you know what? It's more than just a name for the company. God Bless Vodka is a salute to country, character, and those who serve veteran-owned and operated. And they've got one mission, create something bold, authentic, and unapologetically American. And so it's built to be a symbol, a toast to those who serve, a salute to the values that we fought for, and a reminder that no matter your politics or beliefs, we are stronger when we stand together as Americans. You can look for it at your favorite local liquor store. If you want to find out more about their story, you can go to gbvspirits.com. And remember to salute and give thanks to those who serve our military and first responders out there for us every single day. This message is brought to you by Beverage Wholesalers in Fargo.
Who won our pick six? There was a seven-way tie. Six right.
I'd make it eight.
If we had Jason. It's 8 people got all 6 games right. So had to come down to the score of the Vikings game. Big game, James McCarty will let us know who won the pick six. Brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters. Ramjack North coming up next. 6:12, big game. James McCarty has arrived with your WDAY Radio Sports.
Minnesota Vikings wrapped up their trip to Europe with a thrilling 21-17 victory in London over the Cleveland Browns. Carson Wentz completed 25 of 34 passes, 236 yards and a touchdown. Cam Akers had a passing touchdown to Josh Oliver. That Carson Wentz touchdown to Jordan Addison was with 25 seconds remaining in the game. That's how the Vikings would get that victory. They're now 3-2 and head into their bye week. College football over the weekend saw MSUM walk off Minot State in overtime 40-37. Brady Perryman would catch his program record 32nd receiving touchdown, and then the game winner was his 33rd career receiving touchdown, the most in program history. Concordia would defeat St. Scholastica on their homecoming 49-21. North Dakota State, a matchup that saw them trailing 2-0 in the first quarter. They were up 18-16 at one point in the late stages. They would find a way to get a win 33-16. They really played well in the fourth quarter to take down the Redbirds, a top 10 matchup in the subdivision. North Dakota ruled Northern Iowa 35-7. South Dakota State surviving Youngstown State, a game that they were down 17-7 at the half. They would win 35-30. South Dakota over Murray State 49-24, and Minnesota, the Golden Gophers, got a field goal on their first drive and would give up 42 consecutive after that, falling to Ohio State, the top-ranked team in the land, 42-3. MLB postseason last night saw Toronto defeat New York 13-7. The Blue Jays have a 2-0 series lead in that best-of-five series. Seattle edged out Detroit 3-2 to tie up that series at a game apiece. A couple of game twos in the National League tonight, with Philadelphia hosting Los Angeles at 5:08. LA has a 1-0 series lead, and then Milwaukee will host Chicago at 8:08 p.m., with that one having Milwaukee leading 1-0. Fargo Forest over the weekend falling short to Sioux City in a shootout 2-1 in their home opener. Bryce Mattern, the only goal scored for Fargo. A.J. White did save 24 of the 25 shots he faced up until that shootout period. And we have on our family of stations here the rest of the week on WDAY Radio. You're going to have tonight primetime sports at 6:30. We'll get you caught up on the local sports scene. Tuesday night, high school volleyball, West Fargo Cheyenne hosting West Fargo High at 7 p.m. Friday evening has Moorhead Spud football hosting St. Michael Albertville at 6 p.m. with Larry Knudsen on the call. And then on Saturday, Cobra football at Hamlin at 1 p.m. with Larry Knudsen on the call for that matchup as well.
I asked Jace if the pick six was super easy because we had a 7-way tie. He didn't fill his form out, but he had it printed out. It would have been an 8-way tie, not that he could win or anything. Was it kind of an easy week to pick?
I personally, it really depends on how you look at it. I mean, the Gophers were heavy underdogs against Ohio State. MSUM has had success in recent memory against Minot State, although MSUM blew a 17-point lead to get it to overtime.
Yeah.
North Dakota State was trailing midway through the second quarter against Illinois State, so you just have local fans that are confident. And at North Dakota should have won at Northern Iowa the way that they did, but you know, at that UNI Dome, the way that North Dakota plays in the road a lot of times, I mean, it was something that I went to. There were toss-ups, but I think that there were opportunities for upsets of sorts.
Yeah,
and the Vikings ended up edging out the Browns. I mean, the Vikings basically led for 30 seconds of that game.
I
mean,
right at the end,
they were just they were down, you know, 7-0, tied it up. They were down 10-7. They took a 14-10 lead, and they gave up a touchdown 2 minutes later to go down 17-14, and then they didn't score until there was 25 seconds left. So they probably had a lead for 3 minutes of that 60-minute matchup. So, I mean, it was just timely victories for really the majority of the local teams, with the exception of the Gophers, who they had a lead on Ohio State for about a good 40 seconds, and then was over from there. But no, I mean,
was surprised that many people got all the games right. And then our winner comes within 2 points of the Vikings score.
Yeah, that's pretty darn impressive.
What'd they pick? 23-17?
23-17. Linda S.
Yeah, well, it looks like Crash picked
Crash
the right
went
score.
High 30 or something.
He had 21-17. He had the right score.
He did?
But he got the Gopher game wrong.
Oh, yeah. That, he doesn't count then. He didn't.
Yeah, no, but I
Linda
just
did.
Like,
Linda had 23-17, so, I mean,
yeah, that's
really good. All six games right.
Yeah, and, got all six right. Yeah, I mean, it's a good weekend at the office. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, so congratulations,
a couple of people had
Linda.
Faith in the Gophers. I appreciate
you. Yeah,
guys.
I saw that.
Sorry, James, I did not.
Yeah, well, you didn't win.
No.
So you messed up elsewhere.
I got him right, though. That's all that matters.
Yeah. So Linda gets herself a WDAY cap, Precision Concrete Cutters, Ram Jack North sponsors our pick six each week. Get involved. Coming up this Friday, James will be serving up six more games. We know that you were not here Friday morning. We told our listeners, too, that you were going out duck hunting. How's it looking out there? I know it was still warm Friday, Saturday.
It's hot.
And there's no rain. So did you see anything out there?
Hot. We saw a few, but yeah. Got two shots off total. It was just, it's you shouldn't be swatting mosquitoes, putting your decoys out.
Yeah.
Also, people, go to work.
What do you mean?
I had to go to three ponds to find an open pond. There's people everywhere, man.
Steve Carney.
Everywhere.
Steve Carney.
Good
said
for
the
you
same.
Guys. I'm happy, but go to work.
Steve Carney said the same thing, too. He was just shocked. Like, he went to where he normally would go to, and he's like, there was already four different crews out there, so they had to go find a different lake.
Good thing Thursday, I spent 4 hours out there looking for different bodies of water, but there wasn't a ton for moving waterfowl.
But conditions aren't great yet.
No, not at all. I mean, it's cool today. It's cool tomorrow. We'll see the rest of the week, but yeah, we need some cold air for four days.
Helpful too, or
it very well can be. Well, I mean, I would say rain's more helpful than sunny and 75 for the next 3 weeks.
Well, question is that originally I think this week we were expecting high 60s, maybe low 70s, maybe hit mid 70s at some point this week. It looks
too warm. Still,
it looks like the forecast has significantly dropped. Well, we're looking at highs in the 60s all week. Will this be because West Fargo yesterday had a frost warning, you know.
Yeah, so, that's what we need. We need more of that.
So we get that, then we'll get them ducks moving a little bit more.
Yeah,
for
well, a lot of it is you're getting the migratory ducks, and
right,
those guys aren't going to start moving until. So if you know, for example, if it's a high of 60 here for us, well, you got to go pretty north in Canada for the highs to be colder than low 50s, right?
Yeah.
So it takes a little bit to get them moving, and we need more cold.
You and all the other hunters out there looking
for
the deer hunt, too. I mean, bow hunting's season's underway.
Oh, yeah, we have almost nothing moving on our property. Mm-hmm. Just a couple of black bears still because it's so dang warm out.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not helping the deer and their patterns by any means.
When do the bears get ready to hibernate?
There's a story.
And usually if they're the bears from Chicago, it's usually week one, but that's a different story.
Watch
out for the bears because it's getting close to hibernation season. I just came across something earlier.
I would think that it has to be pretty soon because normally about this time the temperature should be starting to drop, so they should be probably trying to get ready.
Here you go. Officials reminding anyone living in areas frequented by black bears, now's the time of year to be on the lookout as they're looking for food to get ready for hibernation. They say this time of year, bears may become more attracted to human-provided food sources. They can lose their natural fear of people. The best way to keep them away is to make sure you take your bird feeders in, as well as pet food, trash. Keep it in a bear-resistant garbage can. I've seen people on social media within our region here sharing, I think, two different ones north of us and northeast of us, one on the North Dakota, one on the Minnesota side of bear sightings and stuff, too. So, Bird feeders. Bear, they like to help themselves. They don't ask for permission.
At least I don't get quite that hungry, but I do kind of understand the Bears being closer to human food sources. Mm. I mean, I get that.
Whatever's easy. Food. They got to fatten up for winter. If you've spent too long hiding your smile, avoiding photos, avoiding laughter, maybe even avoiding life, Dakota Implant and Sedation Center, they can change that for you and change it in just one day. Their same-day smile transformations help you walk in with hesitation and walk out with confidence.
You know, and sedation dentistry is great. I mean, if you've got a fear of dentists and having that work done, sedation dentistry might be what is good for you. And this is gentle sedation as well. They've got a compassionate team there and flexible financing. That's what you always want, because not everybody has dental insurance. So being able to be afforded, have that gentle sedation is always key, and they remove every barrier between you and the smile that you deserve. So call them, Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo, or visit dakotaimplant.com. Don't wait to smile like you mean it.
6:22, coming up 6:56 this morning, Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing this artist. Very, very talented. In fact, even was close friends with Elizabeth Taylor and gave her away at her seventh wedding. Who's counting, though? We'll find out who it is.
We'll figure out after the first six. She's like, maybe this isn't for me. Just saying.
I think there was more after that one.
But probably.
We'll find out who it is, too. Okay, Ozzy Osbourne, he died in July.
Yeah.
A town in England, south of England, has honored him in a very unique way. We'll talk about that coming up next. 6:24, Monday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Mastotti, Jace Denman, and you. This is a super cool story and just a beautiful tribute to the late Ozzy Osbourne. A farm over in the UK used hundreds of pumpkins to make a Halloween mural. And it's Ozzy's likeness. It's his face, his hair. They used orange pumpkins up on the sides, but like he's got a like gray. Have you seen like the gray kind of pumpkins? They kind of have like
not,
a grayish,
not often,
greenish
yeah,
tinge.
Yeah.
They're out there, or a squash variety, but they mm-hmm. use that for his shirt. His hair, they found darker colored pumpkins. They look black, but they're either black or dark green. It's hard to tell. Probably black, because there are black pumpkins too for his hair.
He's the Prince of Darkness. And the clothes is black.
Is really cool. And then his face, of course, they used like skin colored or white. And it's a lot of work they put into this to make this mural here. They used mm-hmm. two forklifts and many, many different colored pumpkins to create the likeness of Ozzy Osbourne. It started out as a stencil on a hillside and then turned into a massive display of Halloween and hard rock art.
Nice.
Quoting Ozzy in their social media caption, the farm said, "I can't do anything in moderation," and neither can we, they said.
I think when they start putting the pumpkins down, Bonnie, on the video portion of mm-hmm. this story, it does look like those, the ones for his hair, they do look like a dark green to start. But when they get done, it does look black.
Okay. Because there are black pumpkins.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. When I see the beginning of it, when it's yeah. on the shadows, but nonetheless,
isn't that
incredible?
I mean, it's so amazing that, and I don't know how they get stuff set up, but to get the outline is the biggest thing. To get it drawn, to make it look like him. And then, of course, you're just filling in. It's kind of like the paint by numbers kind of thing. You know, this color is for the shirt, this color is for the hair and for the sunglasses,
yeah,
et cetera.
Yeah, so you have an artist draw yeah. it, because it really does
but
look
to,
like
but,
Ozzy.
But to draw it, number one, and then get it blown up so you can put it on the side of the hill and then do that, that's pretty impressive.
Like
so.
I said, two forklifts to get mm-hmm. all those pumpkins, and you can see a lot of people working in the
yeah.
background. They sped up the video. It's mm-hmm. on abcnews.go.com if you want to search for the Ozzy Osbourne mural. That is pretty sweet.
Yeah, I like it.
Too bad it can't last forever because it's pumpkins.
Mm. Well, it depends on the weather. If it's cooler out, you know, you might be all right.
Mm. I give it. It just depends how cold it gets.
If one of them gets rotten, then it'll probably spread to the rest of them or
it
whatever.
It could potentially last a few months.
Yeah,
I don't
know, it might.
You know, but that is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we're not going over to London to look at it, so we'll just enjoy
we're
it.
We're not?
No, we're just going to enjoy it.
Well, then why do I have my bag packed then? I thought we were going somewhere.
I'm broke from my trip already.
Well, you're a world traveler. I mean, you should be ready to fly.
I was a forced world traveler. It wasn't my idea. I was forced.
force.
Would have been kicked. I had to go to my daughter's wedding in Greece. It's just terrible. I can't handle it.
She wouldn't have talked to me if I didn't show up.
Mom, I'm getting married in Greece. All right, have a nice time. We'll see you when you get back. Love you.
No, she would have been mad. We did it. We survived.
And you even went to Serbia.
Yeah.
You got to see the dragon.
We did. We saw the dragon again. Yeah, we did. Tomorrow, usually Tuesdays is Taco Tuesdays or whatever. Today, I guess, is National Taco Day, too. So
what?
Yes.
I thought we've already had National Taco Day already.
I don't know. They say National Taco Day.
I think every day is National Taco Day.
Oh, no, it is on Tuesday. I take that back. National Taco Day is tomorrow. I thought they were doing it a day early, like National Taco Day, and then it's
going to make National Taco Day on a Monday. That way it doesn't conflict with people's normal Taco Tuesday.
They must have, like, intentionally did it on Tuesday. I just didn't read fast enough ahead of time. Yeah, it's tomorrow, I guess.
Oh, that's a relief. I was worried for a minute.
Yeah. Oh, so family groups. You know you have this chats, group chats or whatever on your phone. So,
I can either confirm or deny from make sure in-laws or spouses are not listening.
All right. So I made homemade pizza yesterday for lunch. Logan ate it. Mm-hmm. Dwayne was out working in the garage, didn't eat it. And then a couple of hours later, I'm like, I had some beef to use up. So it's like, okay, I'm going to make some vegetable beef soup, right? Delicious. Right. Both boys clearly aware that I'm making vegetable beef soup on the stove.
The and stew would have been better.
I could have done stew too. Yeah. I like both, but I did soup.
Yep.
Get a group text from Carly. Like at 3 in the afternoon, we're kind of craving Olive Garden. Who wants to go? I'm like, why would you send that in the group text? You know that the two of them are going to say yes. So they go to Olive Garden.
Well, did you put in the group text, I'm making vegetable beef soup?
I said, I'm making vegetables beef soup. I said, I made a homemade pizza for lunch. Plus, there's leftover hot dogs your dad grilled yesterday. You guys can come over here. It's already paid for or whatever. Nope, they all wanted Olive Garden. So meanwhile, I sat at home soup was done. And I, why would I go out to eat when I made this big kettle of soup?
I don't know. Maybe you
want
to spend time with the family. I have no idea.
I see them 3 or 4 days a week. And Carly and I just went to the pumpkin patch the day before with Zara. They've Logan got, played pickleball with Milos.
Look, they've got Zuppa Toscana and all-you-can-eat breadsticks.
Yeah, well, my waistline doesn't like that. I'm back on track, and I am staying on track. I know what went into the soup I made.
Is that the reason why you didn't want to go to Olive Garden? Because you wanted to have your diet stay on track? Or was it really about the soup?
It's both. Like, I made this kettle of soup. Was it 50, why wouldn't you eat 50, it?
Is it 50-50 or is it maybe 60-40?
No, it was more like I made this food to eat. So they're gonna be eating soup and leftover pizza and hot dogs the next 3 days.
Well, that'll keep. I mean, you never know when the next time you're going to make it to Olive Garden.
Whatever.
I haven't been to Olive Garden in a long time, Bonnie.
I did the skip, and they all went to Olive Garden. Plus, now they have leftover Olive Garden in the fridge, too.
It's rude!
Like, knuckleheads. 6:31, you're hanging out with Bonnie and friends. 6:34, weekend's over. Get up and get to work, people. Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here. This is okay weather to go back to work, too, I guess. We got to enjoy a nice, beautiful weekend for the most part.
Saturday was okay. Sunday, man, it was a wind machine. Yeah, we had winds gusting over 50 yesterday.
There was leaves coming off the trees blowing around.
Yeah,
I saw that.
It was definitely a windy one yesterday. And we'll have a couple of windy events this week as well. Not today, though, but it's a cool start. A lot of upper 30s across the area. We're at 40 now here at the studio. 36 in Yulin, Hillsboro, and Castleton, all at 36. Moorhead, you're at 39. Grand Forks and Wahpeton, you're at 40. So a cooler start to the day. No frost out there, though. But we're going to see a lot of sunshine today. A few clouds around this morning, but generally sunny as we head into the afternoon. 60 for a high with a west-northwest wind about 10 to 15. Another chilly one into the upper 30s tonight with light north winds. And light north winds on Tuesday, plenty of sun, highs, again, right around the 60-degree mark. And then Wednesday, the wind machine ramps up out of the south. That'll help warm us up into the 70s. It looks like low 70s remain in the forecast, low to mid-70s from Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then the weekend comes here, and we're going to have a windy and warm one on Saturday. Those south winds again ramp up with highs into the mid-70s. Then a cold front swings through Saturday night and into Sunday. That'll give us some rainfall, a few thunderstorms along with that as well. And then highs falling quickly into the 50s on Sunday. So we go from the mid-70s on Saturday to the upper 50s on Sunday with the rainfall, it looks like, this time. And then after this week, this is going to be a dry week. So we're starting out the new LRC pattern here this week on a dry note. But starting next week and for the next week to 10 days, week to 2 weeks, we'll go into a little more active weather pattern. I'm not talking any huge storms, but we'll see increasing chances for some light rain throughout the area as we head through mid-month. So it won't be as quiet as it has been the last 2 weeks around here.
Yeah, and I know we just got a few spits of rain around here, but there were some spots at Bismarck, Mandan, and elsewhere that saw over an inch of rain.
Which that's about what we thought would happen from that Bismarck, Jamestown area up through the northeastern corner of the state. Those areas were going to be targeted, and that's what actually panned out over the weekend. They did get some much-needed precip out there as
well. Will the stuff coming in on Sunday, appreciable rain, will we see? Or is it too early to tell?
It's a little too early to tell. Okay. Depends how quickly the front moves through. If it blasts through real quick, then we're probably not going to get much at all. But if it's a slow moving front, that will give us increasing chance for more moisture. So we'll iron it out as we go throughout the week.
Stay tuned right here to WDAY Radio. It is 6:37. We're going to get your national news in from ABC, check in with the American Ag Network, and Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:42, time to check out your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
Minnesota Vikings surviving a matchup in London to the Browns. 21-17 yesterday morning. Carson Wentz threw a touchdown pass to Jordan Addison with 25 seconds remaining in the game for the Vikings to secure a 1-1 record overseas as they head into their bye week. Now, Eric Wilson did lead the defense with 9 tackles. The Vikings are 3-2, and they'll be back in, I guess 13 days from now for some more football. College football over the weekend, we saw Minnesota State Moorhead walk off Minot State in overtime on their homecoming, 40-37. Concordia College would defeat St. Scholastica on their homecoming, 49-21. North Dakota State would find a way to pull away in the fourth quarter against Illinois State, 33-16. North Dakota rolled Northern Iowa, 35-7. South Dakota State overcame a 10-point halftime deficit to defeat Youngstown State, 35-30. South Dakota over Murray State, 49-24. And the Golden Gophers of Minnesota, they found themselves up 3-0 to Ohio State and Columbus on primetime national television. Then they gave up 42 straight, fell 42-3. So there's that, Gopher fans. And the MLB postseason, the divisional series, best of 5 series in the American League on Sunday afternoon. Toronto defeated New York 13-7 for the Jays to take a 2-0 series lead. Seattle edged out Detroit 3-2. That series now tied up at a game apiece. Tonight on TBS, you have a National League Division Series doubleheader. Philadelphia hosting L.A. at 5:08 this evening. L.A. with a 1-0 series lead. And then Milwaukee hosting Chicago at 8:08 for the nightcap, with the Brewers leading that series 1-0. Sanderson Farms Championship in the PGA Tour over the weekend. Stephen Fisk won the tournament at 24 under par. He took home just over $1 million. Tom Hoagie shot 5 over and missed the cut line. And as we're rounding out sports here this hour, Fargo Force Hockey, they had their home opener on Saturday. They fell to Sioux City in a shootout, 2-1. Bryce Mattern was the lone Force member to score a goal. A.J. White saved 24 of 25 shots in net before that shootout period. Sports this hour brought to you by Prairie Supply. Contact the concrete experts at Prairie Supply, the contractor's headquarters. For more info, go to prairiesupply.com.
I see the Albuquerque Hot Air Balloon Festival is underway. Greg from our sales staff went there with his family, was it last year or the year before? Really? It's always like in early October when they have it. This would be quite a sight. Over 500 balloons cleared for liftoff at the 53rd annual Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta. I guess they had to delay it a day because it was windy.
I suppose. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you let the balloons go when it's windy out, you'll never see them
again.
You
know where they end up. Festival runs through October 12th in New Mexico. I think I'm putting that one on my bucket list. I was thinking about that over the weekend because I was looking at it. That would be cool to do.
Yeah, and there's some closer balloon festivals.
Yeah,
there's like one out in like the Black Hills
Medora,
or whatever.
Yeah,
there's Medora
one
does too.
There's one closer, like down. I saw it about a week or two ago come in my Facebook feed. Somewhere down around the Twin Cities, they do one too.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are stationary though. The balloons actually they have them like tied down, which is kind of weird.
Well, doesn't seem quite the same.
I know. That's exactly what I said.
Hey, there's hot air balloons, but they're not going to go in the air.
They're tethered down. This one in Albuquerque runs through October 12th, so must be a good full
week.
Yeah, that would. I think it's just beautiful.
It is, and I would like to go up in a hot air balloon sometime just to experience that. I don't know.
They used to.
I don't know if my parents have done that before. If maybe my brother and his wife, because they live out in the Black Hills. I don't know if they've ever gone up in one. I would assume, knowing my brother and his wife, they probably have. But just the idea of kind of flying up in a balloon and just kind of enjoying the sights and the peacefulness up there.
I used to think I wanted to, but as I got older, it's like, nah, that's off my bucket list. I'd rather look at them, but not. I don't need to go up in one. But yeah, they used to do them here locally, but I haven't.
Want to look at the balloons. I don't want to go in a balloon.
We had a place when I was going to college in St. Cloud, there was a pizza place that had a hot air balloon that they would put up every fall.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of cool with their logo on it and stuff.
Yeah, but how was the pizza?
It was good. Waldo's pizza, I think.
Where's Waldo's?
It went out of business. It was kind of like that. And it wasn't red and white or anything like that.
Well,
like,
then they missed the boat on that one.
I don't know where
Waldo. It should have been red and white there in St. Cloud.
But I didn't even hear about Where's Waldo till I had kids. How far back does Where's Waldo go?
I don't
go?
Know. James, you got a comment on this? You're the younger Waldo. One here.
I grew up with said Waldo.
Okay, so that's at least 27.
Still don't know where he's at.
Yeah, I remember my kids' Where's Waldo. Not till 1987, but they could have taken advantage of that and had a red and white balloon because that would have been 84 to 89.
Exactly.
But yeah. Where's Waldo? Those are good books. I think we still have one on our bookshelf from when my kids were little.
Well, you'd figure once they found them, they wouldn't need the book anymore.
Those seek and find or hide and seek, whatever they're called, those books are pretty cool. My kids spend a lot of time looking for hidden objects. We still have a bunch of those books sitting around. Some things I just kept for my grandkids, and now I finally have one. Hopefully more on the way someday.
No pressure, you two.
Yeah, no pressure at all. All right, Flatland Music Flashback, that coming your way at 6:56 in 2011. This song... was named the worst song of the 80s, and I disagree. I like this song a lot.
It was overplayed.
Find out what it is. Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're heading back to the American Ag Network shortly.
It was on this date in 1979. This band's album was number one on the U.S. album chart, and it was that band's eighth and final studio album to reach the top of the charts. We'll find out who that is. And what album that was coming up next on Flatland Music Flashback. 7:02, time for a check on the local weather with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Dino?
And we've got a cool start to the morning out there. A lot of 30s, but mid and upper 30s. Not quite at frost potential there, but pretty close to it. 38 here at the studio right now. Let's see. Yulin, you're at 36. Hillsboro's at 36, 35. And Castleton, Moorhead, you're at 39. Grand Forks at 40. Wahpeton at 40 as well. And we're looking at a lot of sunshine for today with highs pretty close to 60 with a west-northwest wind at about 10 to 15. So pretty seasonal today. This is about where we should be. And then tonight, clear skies, another chilly one. It looks like upper 30s for lows with light north winds and light winds on Tuesday with plenty of sunshine. And highs in the upper 50s. Now, as we head into Wednesday, the winds ramp up out of the south, and they'll be gusting up to 30 with highs in the low 70s. And then we'll stay in the 70s for Thursday and Friday. Looks like low to mid 70s. And then Saturday, the winds ramp back up again out of the south, and that will give us highs into the mid 70s. A cold front arrives Saturday night into Sunday morning. That will trigger off some showers and thundershowers on Sunday with much cooler weather on tap for Sunday with highs in the upper 50s. And then we cool down even further, it looks like, as we head into early next week. I think early next week, that's when we'll see our widespread frost and or freeze. A little too early to tell how cold, but it looks like a better potential for a widespread frost or freeze, which should end the growing season as we head into next week. And just a side note, the new LRC cycle does start today. So we're going to start the new LRC cycle on a quiet and mild note this week, but it looks like it does start to turn a little more active after this week. Over the next couple of weeks, we see a few more storm systems coming our way. So the dry weather pattern that we've been in is about ready to come to an end, and we'll start to get into a wetter, more active pattern. I still don't see any big storms But again, there's the potential is definitely there as we head towards mid-month. So something we'll keep an eye on.
Remind us how it's determined the cycle length on the LRC.
Well, so what we do is today, we'll take yesterday, today, and tomorrow because we want to give a couple-day window on either side of the 6th. And what we'll do is we'll take a snapshot of what our upper air charts look like, and then we'll be keeping a very close eye on that. And when we see the same pattern return, so we'll take a snapshot of the upper air charts today, and when that same pattern returns, then we know we have our LRC cycle length set. Typically, it's between 30 and 50 days. This year, or this last year's cycle was 42 days, give or take a day. Mm-hmm. So it's usually around that 30 to 45, 30 to 50 day cycle length, but we won't know the exact cycle length until we see this pattern that we've got today return again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And a lot of people look forward to that. So
yeah, absolutely, because then we can map out the rest of the winter, all the way into spring and even through next summer as well.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You got it.
Weather has been brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation. Time now is 7:06. We've got to check on your national news and a sports date coming up from our sports director, Big Game James McCarty.
7:10, Big Game James McCarty is here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
Over the weekend, the Minnesota Wild not only wrapped up preseason play, but also locked down their starting goaltender. They signed Philip Gustafson to a 5-year extension worth $34 million. That'll keep the Gus bus in Minnesota through the 2030-2031 season. 27-year-old has spent the last three seasons with the Wild, going 31-19-6 with a 2.56 goals against average. That was just this past season alone. The Wild did beat Chicago in their preseason finale 3-2 on a Friday. But Thursday night, they will be in St. Louis to take on the Blues to open the 25-26 season. Minnesota Vikings found a way with 25 seconds left in the game to go back shoulder from Carson Wentz to Jordan Addison for a touchdown to take down the Cleveland Browns in London, 21-17. Wentz, 25 of 34 passing for 236 yards in that one touchdown. Cam Akers also had a passing touchdown to Josh Oliver on a, it looked to be a wildcat play turned into a touchdown pass. Eric Wilson had 9 tackles to lead the Vikings, who are 3-2 in the season now, and they head into their bye week as they return home to the United States. College football over the weekend saw Minnesota State Moorhead blow a 17-point fourth-quarter lead, ultimately end up walking off Minot State in overtime 40-37 on their homecoming. Also for the Cobbers, it was their homecoming as Concordia College defeated St. Scholastica 49-21. North Dakota State pulls away late over Illinois State 33-16. North Dakota rolled Northern Iowa on the road 35-7. South Dakota State on the road overcame a 10-point halftime deficit to defeat Youngstown State 35-30. South Dakota over Murray State 49-24. And the Minnesota Golden Gophers falling to Ohio State 42-3. MLB postseason last night saw a couple of game twos with in the American League, Toronto defeating New York 13-7. The Blue Jays take a 2-0 series lead. Seattle edged out Detroit 3-2 to tie up that best of five series at a game apiece. And now in the National League tonight, a couple of game twos on TBS. Just after 5:00, Philadelphia hosts LA with the Dodgers leading that series 1-0. And then Milwaukee, a little after 8 p.m., will host Chicago, the Cubs, with the Brewers leading that series 1-0. On our family of stations here the rest of the week, we have WDAY Radio, 6:30 tonight, Primetime Sports. We'll get you caught up on the local sports scene. Tuesday night, West Fargo Cheyenne takes on West Fargo High in high school volleyball and EDC bout at 7 p.m. Friday night, Moorhead Spud football hosting St. Michael Albertville at 6 p.m. with Larry Knutson on the call. And Saturday afternoon, Cobber football at Hamlin as they will have a 1 p.m. kickoff with Larry Knutson on the call for that one. Our sister station, The Flag, will feature a couple of football matchups. One on the Minnesota side of the river with Dilworth, Glendon, Felton Friday evening hosting Barnesville with a 7 p.m. kickoff. Jason on the call for that one. And on Saturday, Dragon football heads to Bismarck to take on You Marry the Marauders, a 1 p.m. pregame and a 2 p.m. kickoff for that matchup in Bismarck before the Dragons have their bye week next week. Sports This Hour brought to you by Sun Electric. If your company, facility, or residence needs some electrical service done, count on Sun Electric to get it done right. Have an electrical problem? They have the power to solve it online at sunelectricnd.com.
I didn't know this was a national observance day. President Nixon issued a proclamation way back in 1972 creating National Coaches Day. Shout out to all the coaches out
awesome.
There.
Awesome.
All right.
Influencing young people today and influenced all of us growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at all levels. I mean, whether it's a youth coach that volunteers some time after work, it's a high school or a varsity coach that stays many hours after you're done with practices, regardless of the day of the week, or once you get up to the college and professional levels as well. I mean, I know I had coaches when I was growing up that would leave their house at 6 in the morning on a weekday before classes to let us either into the weight room or into the gym in the middle of the school year so we could work on whether it was pitching or hitting, things of those sorts, or just weight training. And then same thing. In the middle of the summer, they would let us in at 6 in the morning. They would get tractor tires out for us, things of those sorts. And they spent a lot of time with us and probably for a decent chunk of the year, more time with us and their kids even.
And I think that somewhere along the way, James, because quite honestly, it would have been someone, you know, like me coaching someone like you based on or just on the age difference type of thing. But I think those coaches that are around my age and stuff, we learn from what we would have liked to have had back in the day because things were a little more bare bones and just kind of go practice or go lift weights or whatever it was. And so obviously training, coaching, et cetera, got better. I mean, I was lucky enough, though, to have an uncle that was a coach. And I remember being able to be around the high school kids when they would start fall camp down in Mitchell, South Dakota at high school camp. And that was a big deal for me back in the day to be able to go watch my Uncle Bob out there coaching, which is funny. You know, everybody else, Coach Sprang, me, was like, well, that's Uncle Bob, you know, and he spent many years coaching there in Mitchell and eventually at Dakota Wesleyan, got to coach his son. So, I mean, it's always a cool thing.
And
so
one of my favorite coaches, she was also a gym teacher, but she would have been probably a young teacher at the time. If I were to take a guess at it nowadays, she was probably 27 when she started the gym phi ed teacher and then also coaching track and field. And back then she was Miss and then she got married and then remarried later. But now she's on my Facebook along with many, many other people who had her as a teacher, a coach growing up. And now we call her Sandy. But it's kind of weird when you make the transition from Mr. or Mrs.
It's the same thing for when we have some of our former teachers that maybe we become friends with on Facebook over the years. So to me, it's still Mr. Myers. But, you know, to my parents, because they're the same age as him, it's Doug. Because he was our really good science teacher we had, and so it's I don't have it in me to call him Doug or my coach Mr. Stobbs to call him by his first.
I changed to Sandy a few because that's how she goes by on her Facebook but it is kind of a weird transition.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten past that phase by any means. I mean the couple that
you're still relatively young though.
The few that you know we are Facebook friends with, it's funny every once in a while we'll touch paths, but you know. Maybe just because I'm trying to get
but
a little more casual.
Not even 10 years out of high school, right?
Nine years now.
9 years, yeah.
So instead of,
40 years
Mr.
out, we'll
Kunky,
talk.
Sometimes I'd say Kunky when I see it. Like, I cannot get to saying the first name for whatever reason of them. And it's funny because a couple of them have had kids that have come up this way, whether it's for Concordia or MSUM or NDSU. And so once in a while I run into them when you're at different establishments and you get a FaceTime from them. And I'm like, this is not something I would have expected, you know, when I was in grade school. And now it's like, all right, you know, they were bigger than life then. And now, you realize like, oh yeah, they're just a normal person, aren't they?
But they went a long ways. Try to figure out.
It is. So I just, sometimes I'll throw the Mr. or Mrs. on the end. Otherwise, I might just holler a last name like they did at me my entire high school career, too. So,
McCarty!
Yeah. Oh, golly.
Well, I already told you the story. My football coach, Coach Stobbs, I was always Jason Dunman because he always had to say my first and last name because there was a Jason 2 years older than me and one 2 years younger than me. So we had three different Jasons on the football team because we were a small town. So everybody from senior down to freshman or eighth grader were out there at practice together. So I was one of three of them. So they had to say first and last names.
I responded better to last name than anything else because it was just like it was wired in the brain.
Yep.
At that point in life. And I think, I don't know if larger schools are like that or not, but definitely in small town USA, that's it. last name over first name, by all means.
Exactly.
Yeah, so shout out to all the coaches out there. This is your day. Inspiring us to push and learn things, and
we still
have fond memories of the coaches.
We still do, and it's great that these days in media, then we get a chance to talk to a lot of the high school coaches. Mm-hmm. I know James does a great job talking with a lot of these coaches and building personal relationships with them. I love the relationships that we've built over at MSUM with former now a couple coaches, obviously, and obviously the current coaches over there, and it's. Each time we go over there, this year I know that I've gone with James and we've talked to defensive coordinator Jesse down there and Abe, and we've talked to some of the other coaches down there, you know, Coach DeLacque, Coach Needham. I mean, it's cool getting to know them and kind of hearing them talk about what is kind of their process and how they build a program. So it's always really cool to hear from them.
Absolutely. All right, WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel, we've got a special programming show planned here, the WDAY Radio Farm Show, and she's going to have all the details on that coming up next. And WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel standing by. First of all, we want to catch up to Troy Mattern, talk to him from Heritage Homes, the ranch communities built by Heritage Homes. Good morning to you, Troy.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Tell our listeners what you guys have going on.
Yeah, we just got done with the Fall Parade of Homes, and it was very successful, and we're in the grand closeout of our Ranch of the Wilds. But one thing we're doing this week is we're running a Mutual Oklahoma is coming to town, and they run a lifestyle mortgage program that I think it's a must for people to hear about. It's taking all your equity that you have in your home and putting it to work, and I think it's important for people to understand and educate themselves on to be able to get into a 55-plus community and all the opportunities with the different mortgage opportunities you have. We're having an event, and I hope people can come out and join us.
When is that event, and where will it be at, Troy?
Yeah, it's on Wednesday night, and it's out at the Ranch of the Wilds Clubhouse. But if you go to our website, heritagefargo.com, you'll get all the information there. Again, heritagefargo.com. But again, like I said, it's just an opportunity for people to come out and educate themselves on ways to get into that home and find ways to get out of your current home that doesn't fit your needs anymore and get into a 55-plus community with all your friends and family.
Awesome. All right, Troy, so October 8th from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. at 835 Arania Way West in West Fargo, across from Legacy Elementary. The event's going to feature talking points based on how a client can have more functional freedom with the Lifestyle Home Loans by Mutual of Omaha. Representative is going to be on site to talk about the program, and there's more information at heritagefargo.com. Thanks again, Troy.
You bet. Have a good day, guys. Thank you.
You too. It is 7:24.
And we will head out to the farm to talk with Ag Director Bridget Riedel. Bridget, obviously we've been made aware of it, but we are going to have a WDAY Radio Farm Show. When is that coming up for everybody so they can put it on their calendars?
I am hoping you've marked your calendar in big red letters so you can follow along all day. And that is on November 5th. It's a Wednesday, right in the start of November. So we're going to start right after Bonnie and Friends and go through the entire day of programming, doing nothing but farming, agriculture. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk cattle, agronomy, livestock, banking, equipment. We're going to wrap up our Here We Grow project and make sure to present a check to our charity of choice for the season, and so much more. I'll have my assistant ag directors on hand for the day to help out. They'll be kind of our showrunners, greeting guests, talking about their recent return from the National FFA Convention, their respective chapters in North Dakota and Minnesota, and so much more. So we're going to include the youth in agriculture, the experts in agriculture, and you, the audience for agriculture, all day long.
Wow.
So very exciting, and looking forward to incorporating stories from folks all around the region as well. You know, good and interesting little tidbits throughout the day.
Well, yeah, and the phone lines will be open. So if people have questions for your guests or the topic you're talking about.
excuse me. And if
don't get choked up about it, Bridget. I mean, I know it's a big deal, but I mean, you talk about ag all the time. It's all right.
Well, and if there's something in advance that folks say, you know, I have this question, let's maybe tackle it because we need a little bit more time. And we can do that if you drop me that email, ag@flagfamily.com. So it's going to be a big day. Yeah. Looking forward to it very much. Mm. And for you guys, you know, hopefully I'll have a couple of questions to ask you to share with our listeners throughout the day as well. So you never know what might be coming. Watch your inboxes.
Looking forward to it.
So for many who are looking at weight loss, maybe you're using the new GLP-1s. Well, Oikos, I think that's how you say it. The yogurt company, O-I-K-O-S.
I thought it was Oikos.
Is it Oikos?
Yeah.
Okay.
You had me confused. I mean, I've got the Oikos yogurt in the fridge, Bridget, okay. You know.
Well, and so when I see that and I hear Oikos, I think of a pig snorting, but never mind.
That's Oinkos.
Oinkos.
That's a pig-themed cereal.
This is not helping our listeners.
Okay. They're like, what?
So anyway, Oikos has this new fusion line. That's the name that's going to be on the containers, and it's a nutrient-dense cultured dairy drink, and it's really tailored for those who are looking for the weight loss help. Each is 130 calories. It's a 7-ounce bottle, has 23 grams of complete protein, 5 grams of prebiotic fiber, zero sugar, more essential vitamins added to it, etc. Comes in a whole line of flavors, and it's been developed specifically by nutritionists and dietitians to help support weight loss. Mm-hmm. And really, it uses a more rapidly digesting whey versus a casein that you see in many protein drinks. So that's helpful as well. And can't hurt to get more dairy and calcium into your life, folks. Here's a way to do it.
I was wondering where you were going with that, the dairy tailored for GLP-1.
And that is interesting because they got their normal kind of standard yogurts, and obviously they got Greek yogurt. And then in recent years, they've come out with a I don't know if you want to say protein dense, but it's kind of a higher protein yogurt.
And
that's the yogurt that I usually get because I like the extra protein, obviously, try and kind of stave off hunger, et cetera. So this is interesting. They're going to be probably combining that yogurt with some cultures for the stomach and stuff like that to help with that gut health. So that's an interesting product. I don't know that I've seen it. I suppose you're probably already said that it hasn't come out yet. So
actually, I believe that they should be hitting the shelves. If it's not already there, it will be showing up pretty quickly. I think I'll maybe take that over the pumpkin spice cheese we talked about.
Yes, exactly. Good choice.
A lot of excitement in the dairy aisle this time of year, you guys.
Of course there is.
Right. And also, as we approach the end of the year, many farmers start thinking about the discussions they need to have with their accountants and with their bankers. As you head into see your accountant, your tax professionals, remember that there is a bonus depreciation and increase to Section 179 that came out in the One Big Beautiful Bill. But you got to pay attention to the details on it. So, for example, to qualify, if you have an asset, it must be acquired and placed into service after January 19th, 2025. So let's say you bought a tractor on January 10th and it was delivered in April. That does not qualify for the 100% bonus depreciation. Same if you were putting up a barn or a building and you signed the contract in 2024 to be completed in 25, it also does not qualify. So check that out. Some limits have changed. You want to make sure that you understand what that's doing and looks like as you get ready to wrap up the 2025 accounting year for your farm, or perhaps whatever year, the months fall for your farm.
So maybe just explain this a bit slower. So are you saying that they get extra depreciation this year because of that bill then?
That One Big Beautiful Bill does allow for extra depreciation, yes. But you have to know the parameters around the asset that you're buying to make sure that it's a good, that it's going to fit depending on when you purchased, et cetera.
Well, my question would be, is that normally when you have an asset that you're able to depreciate depending on the type of asset, normally there's kind of a schedule of depreciation. Normally I believe there's a certain depreciation timeline to depreciate it to completely to zero. So normally let's say it's 5 years. Are we speeding that process up so people can take a bigger amount of depreciation this year? Wouldn't that affect them going into future years then if you completely depreciated something?
I think it also affects the increase in the amount because that Section 129 was increased from $1.25 million to $2.5 million, too. So it's extending that bonus depreciation as well as those timelines.
Oh,
and with some of these big pieces of equipment or purchases, it's best to know those details that are going to be specific to your farm.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we want to miss out on the depreciation, and we don't want to mess it up either.
Well, and there's a lot of us, though, that are non-farmers that, I mean, there is stuff that obviously we can depreciate if you've got a vehicle or things like that. But I think it's really important to the farming community because obviously – a lot of times, I mean, I have got an uncle that farms. You buy that new equipment, or at least equipment that's new to you, and you need to depreciate it so that way you can offset maybe some of your gains and then lower that tax bill.
Well, let's face it. If you're a small business owner, you and farms are small businesses. This is where you need to be paying your most attention when it comes to your taxes and so forth.
Exactly. All right, well, what do you got coming up on the show today?
We are going to be visiting with Michael Peterson. He's with U.S. Commodities. Never hurts to know where other markets are these days, depending on what crop you're growing, etc. So we'll visit with them. And then above all, for any questions you've got, you can email me, ag@flagfamily.com.
Thank you, Bridget.
Have a great day.
You bet. 7:32. 7:34. Time now for a check on our forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dee Mysaki. We saw the full moon a little while back.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful start to the day. It's a little chilly. No frost here, although technically we're under a frost advisory this morning. But temperature is just a little bit above that frost threshold in the upper 30s across the area. There are much colder temperatures out in the north central and western part of the state where 20s and low 30s are common. But for us, nope, growing season continues. We're going to look at a lot of sunshine today. Lighter winds than what we had yesterday. We'll have highs right around 60 with west-northwest winds about 10 to 15. Another chilly one tonight into the upper 30s with light winds and plenty of sun and light winds Tuesday and highs in the upper 50s. And then windy conditions develop on Wednesday with highs reaching the lower 70s. And we'll stay in the low to mid-70s Thursday and Friday. And mid-70s on Saturday before a cold front brings some much-needed precip Saturday night into Sunday, followed by much cooler weather on Sunday, back down into the upper 50s, it looks like. So we've been in a very quiet weather pattern, and starting over the weekend, and it looks like for the next 10 days after that, a little more active weather pattern with more numerous chances for precip around here. So good news for harvest this week. We keep things dry, but then we'll start to see a little more in the way of precip starting this coming weekend and beyond.
All right. Thank you, Dino. Weather is sponsored by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated with 3 Fargo locations, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can car more. Time is now 7:36. We've got to check on your national news from ABC. Big Game James McCarty's back with your WDAY Radio Sports Update. Then Dean will return for your 3-degree guarantee.
7:39, Big Game James McCarty's here now with your WDAY Radio Sports.
The man they call Gus Bus, Philip Gustafson for the Wild. He's a goaltender. Signed a 5-year extension with $34 million over the weekend, tying him with a green Wild sweater through the 2030-2031 season. The 27-year-old has spent the last 3 years with the Wild. Over this last season, he went 31-19-6 with a 2.56 goals against average. Believe it or not, guys, the Wild dropped the puck in the 25-26 season. Thursday night in St. Louis against the Blues.
This Thursday?
Yes. So do not text or call me. I will be busy.
Some of us don't have FanDuel Sports Network. James will have to text you.
You know, you could you know, maybe sweet talk a guy that you know that may or may not have it, and you know, bring over some like traditional wings of some sorts and a case of beer.
Food. Maybe not just beer. Yeah. He wants food.
Hey, no. You know, that's more expensive than buying the thing for myself.
Yeah, but it's the principle, right? You don't want to add a subscription.
Yeah, you'll have good company.
That's
too.
How I am. If I don't have a subscription, I'm willing to buy a case of beer for a buddy that costs $25 instead of spending $7.99 a month on something out of principle.
My problem is this ends up starting too late, and I have to miss half the games anyway.
I think it's a 7 o'clock puck drop, if I remember correctly.
I can barely get that game in. They got to be done in 2 hours.
Well, they very well could be. Yeah, drops at 7. Yeah, yeah, we're fine. We're plenty fine. We got all the time in the... Oh, you know what?
What?
Oh, never mind. We're in Bismarck on Saturday. The home opener's on Saturday. I was starting to... Wheels were starting to turn a little bit there. Minnesota Vikings escaped London with a 21-17 victory over the Browns on Sunday morning. Carson Wentz would complete 25 of 34 passes for 236 yards and a touchdown. That touchdown was a back shoulder fade to Jordan Addison with 25 seconds remaining. That gave the Vikings the final lead of the afternoon. Well, afternoon, I guess, in London. Still trying to get used to, now that I'm finally adjusting to these morning games, we have a bye and we're back to afternoon games again. So there's that.
Are you kidding? 3 o'clock kickoffs are bad enough for me. I'm like, you know,
it was just the one. I was
just
driving to the,
it every day, every Sunday at noon, so I can plan my day.
That's how I feel about it too.
Yeah, I'm driving to the family property, you know, on Sunday morning, and I'm like, oh, you know what? The Vikings are about to start, so you know, I flip on, I hear PA screaming, and I'm like, what? Oh, 3-yard run on first down. Heck yeah. There we go. He about, you know, sends me off the side of the road, but you know what? He's passionate about it. I give him that. And then mom calls me about 2 minutes before the first half's over and goes, oh, wait, you're listening to the Vikings game, aren't you? And I'm like, not right now. What can I do for you? And then we ended up not even getting the touch. She had to. A lot of weird things happened on Sunday, to say the least. Mm-hmm. College football over the weekend. MSUM takes down Minot State in overtime, 40-37. Concordia College over St. Scholastica, 49-21. North Dakota State pulls away late with a 33-16 win over Illinois State. North Dakota rolled Northern Iowa 35-7. And the Golden Gophers had a 3-0 lead on Ohio State before giving up the final 42 points of the game. They lose 42-3. Tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. Jason, I'll get you caught up to speed on the local sports scene. And then the rest of the week here on WDAY Radio. Tuesday night, West Fargo Cheyenne takes on West Fargo High in high school volleyball at 7 p.m. Friday night, Moorhead Spud football returns home to square off with St. Michael Albertville at 6 p.m. with Larry Knutson on the call. And Saturday afternoon, Cobber football on the road at Hamlin with a 1 p.m. kickoff. Larry Knutson on the call for that one as well. Sports this hour brought to you by Valley Imports and Valley Pre-Owned, your best price leader in the region. Find your next vehicle at valleyimports.com.
743, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has your 3-degree guarantee coming up next. 746, time now for our 3-degree guarantee with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
He left off last Friday predicting a high of 89.
So. And we got a lot warmer than that.
Did we really?
Yeah, we hit 92.
Okay, ugh. I thought I saw a report about 92, but you're still fine. You're within
That falls within the 3 degrees. But that'll probably be our last 90 degree of the season.
We're in October. I know.
But we're looking at a much more seasonal day today. It's a chilly start with temps in the 30s this morning, but we'll warm up to about 60 this afternoon. So we'll call for 60 for today's 3-degree guarantee with west-northwest winds about 10 to 15. Back down into the mid to upper 30s tonight. Now, the Northern Valley could see some frost potential tonight. Don't be surprised to see frost advisories issued for the Northern Valley. I just don't think we're going to quite see the frost potential tomorrow morning here. Could see a little light frost around the area, but nothing widespread. And then we're still in the upper 50s for highs tomorrow. So a couple of cool days, but seasonal days. Today's 3-degree guarantee, a sunny 60 degrees.
And that is brought to you by the Window and Door Store. Thank you, Dino.
It is 747, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. I see Cracker Barrel has fired the consulting firm with their disastrous rebrand, which maybe lasted, less than 2 weeks
or so. It didn't even really start because I'm still confused on outside of the logo, because that was the thing that was really making waves in the news, was the logo, which to me, my opinion is that there are certain brands that they've reduce their overall logo. Like I always talk about McDonald's to me, instead of having the M in the golden arches and then it saying McDonald's, it's just the golden arches now. Everybody knows what that means, etc. But I don't know that if they had actually started to make over the interior, you know, with different decor.
I don't think they did, but that was the plan.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I mean, simplifying a logo is one thing, but everything else, I don't know.
Regardless, yeah. I mean, to get backlash like that, they didn't want to lose, you know, customers. It could have been the downfall of the restaurant, so they kind of did a 360 on that.
Oh, I mean, that, no, we had 180. Because if they go 360, they go back to where they started.
Oh, that's true, 180. You're right. You're right. Good thinking. I saw him drawing with his finger in the air.
You're right. Do a 360. Okay, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's funny because consulting firms like that can be helpful with finding the right, like if you look at a consulting firm, like when an organization starts a new professional or semi-pro or whatever team, right, and you have that consulting to try and find the right mascot. Like obviously the Minnesota Vikings, I don't even know if they used a firm back in the 1960s or whenever they built the team, right? But coming up with a logo and mascot that represents your brand and your community, et cetera, that's a difficult task. So sometimes those consulting firms can be helpful, but other times when they tell you to take a brand that's tried and true, you don't need to change anything about it because people like what you have to try and freshen it up. Sometimes, they're just, I don't know that they're necessarily telling the company what they want to hear. Like, oh, if you do this, it'll be great for your brand.
No, but they paid a lot of money for them to rebrand. They offer it up, and So
yeah,
you know,
I don't know, man.
A lot of money lost there. 7:49. Couple more incidents of subway surfing that turned deadly in New York. More on that coming up next. 7:52. We're gonna have a look at your money and markets coming up a little bit closer to the hour, but top of the hour. Saw over the weekend there's been a couple more deaths. Subway surfers. It's become a thing. Young people hopping on subway cars as the trains are moving and falling to their death over the weekend. It looks like police found two girls dead, just 12 and 13 years old.
Good grief.
Yeah, there's last year, six people died subway surfing.
Mm-hmm.
They say, and the year before, there was five. They say subway surfing's been around for decades.
Well, I'm sure it probably has. But
of course, there's people that are sharing it on social media, so then young people see this.
Some things that get shared on social media, it's interesting to watch the videos, but I don't think it's smart to obviously try it yourself.
Crazy.
You know, but I mean, kids are impressionable. That's why you know you need to have conversations about life and about doing things that are not safe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the whole thing was this subway surfing. I mean, I guess I could see just trying to get in the mind of the kids that did it. I mean, if you're doing it, you'd want to be out in an open area and not traveling at a super high rate of speed, because obviously falling off, especially when those subways are above like the ground and they're kind of above you. You know, you see in those certain movie scenes and stuff, the subway's up here and the street level's down lower. But I would be so afraid of heads into a tunnel or something.
Yeah, well, that's the things that there's been people that have been killed in a tunnel. They've been electrocuted. They've fallen. And that's the thing. They're not thinking.
Nope.
They just see, whoa, I saw this on social media. That's cool.
It's really pretty easy to do. Yeah, but so what? I saw parkour videos and those guys jumping from roof to roof and tumbling and rolling and doing all this cool stuff. Do you think anybody can just run out there and do that? No.
Yeah.
No.
But when you're young and impressionable,
but, I mean,
you might not realize. Isn't
12 and 13 years old. That is so young.
Yeah, it sure is. Most of them have been teenagers or very young adults who have died here. So hopefully I don't know, PSA, public service campaign, or what they have to do.
Yeah, something like that.
Get the word out there. All right, coming up, we'll be talking about this pharmacy chain, which has now closed all of its stores. More on that, money and markets, straight ahead. 7:58, checking out your money and markets. The opening bell rings this morning after stocks closed mixed Friday to close out the trading week. Stocks paired gains after the major three indexes hit all-time highs earlier in the session, while the Dow Jones Industrial Average and S&P 500 both closed at record highs. Declines in Tesla and Nvidia weighed on the markets as the Senate rejected bills aimed at ending the government shutdown. At the close, the Dow gained 238 points. S&P 500 was up a fraction of a point, and the NASDAQ lost 63 points.
It was a good day in the market, I thought. But anyway, coming up in the business week ahead, the ongoing government shutdown will play a role in the data that's released. The latest reading on the U.S. trade deficit would normally come out on Tuesday, but that's being delayed. Minutes from the Federal Reserve's September meeting will be released the following day. The minutes provide critical insight into the central bank's thinking on interest rates, but they're not considered official economic data, so they should come out as normal. Thursday's weekless jobless claims will be held back without the resolution of the shutdown, but investors will hear from Fed Chair Jerome Powell as he delivers remarks to a banking conference in D.C. The week will wrap up with the consumer sentiment data on Friday. That's released through the University of Michigan, so the shutdown won't affect it. As far as earnings go, Bonnie, things are relatively quiet today as we wait quarter three reporting coming up this month. Noteworthy this week, however, are Delta Airlines and Pepsi, both due to announce results on Thursday. And I always try to do my part to help Pepsi go up.
Especially if it's on sale.
Yeah, it hasn't been, guys. Come on now.
And Rite Aid has officially closed all of its stores, bringing an end to more than 60 years in business. Pharmacy chain confirmed the closures in a statement on its website, saying all Rite Aid stores have now closed. We thank our loyal customers for their many years of support. Rite Aid has struggled financially in recent years. Company filed for bankruptcy protection back in May, just 8 months after emerging from a previous Chapter 11 filing in September of 2024. Yeah, there's just so many options, you know.
Interesting. A couple things out of California, Bonnie. Governor Newsom signs a landmark deal for rideshare drivers unions. There was also a fire in Southern California, which was at a refinery, so that could see gas prices potentially increase because of that. And then Costco
has announced recently they're going to be selling monthly supplies of Ozempic and Wegovia at a discounted price to uninsured members. So, I mean, I don't know if you can get it, you know, and say you're uninsured or just not have it run through insurance, but they're supposedly going to sell them for potentially $499 because
it's
been
still a lot.
Yeah, it's become that's for a month. Obviously, it's become increasingly popular for its health benefits. So we'll see where that goes if people start really buying it up at Costco or not.
We are WDAY Fargo. It is 8 o'clock. Good morning. 8:03, beautiful sunny start to our day. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here with our forecast.
Yeah, a little chilly, a cool start to the day with temperatures across the area in the upper 30s. Not quite frosty, but, you know, we'll get it eventually, and some areas we'll get it tomorrow morning, especially the Northern Valley. Looks like a good shot at a little more widespread frost in the Northern Valley into northwest Minnesota, but we'll keep an eye on that. That's not till tomorrow morning. But for today, we're looking at a lot of sunshine. It's going to be a nice one, a little more seasonal with highs around 60 and winds not as strong as they were on Sunday. They'll be out of the west-northwest today, about 10 to 15. Then the winds will go light out of the north tonight. That will allow us to drop off again into the upper 30s, but cooler low to mid-30s in the Northern Valley tonight under clear skies. And then plenty of sun and light winds on Tuesday with highs in the upper 50s. Then the wind machine cranks up out of the south on Wednesday with highs in the low 70s. And then we stay in the lower 70s Thursday, Friday, mid-70s on Saturday. And then a storm system will drag a cold front through the area on Sunday, giving us a chance for showers and thunderstorms. So it's some much-needed rain, but not until the latter part of the weekend. Dry weather all the way up until then. So
that's pretty good.
It's good for harvest, but again, we do need the moisture. And they saw the moisture out in the central and north central and northeast part of the state over the weekend, but we missed out for the most part. We saw a little bit.
It really wasn't much.
Yeah, so a better chance for some rain next weekend on Sunday.
All righty, 8:05, we're going to get your national news in from ABC. Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. Then we'll be visiting with the Rape and Abuse Crisis Center coming up after that. We're going to be visiting with Jody and Sarah for Rape and Abuse Crisis Center coming up shortly. First of all, a quick check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
Minnesota Vikings using a Carson Wentz touchdown pass to Jordan Addison with 25 seconds left in the game en route to a 21-17 victory over the Cleveland Browns in London yesterday morning. Vikings are now 3-2 on the year, and they are heading into their bye week. Minnesota Wild locking up goaltender Philip Gustavson to a 5-year extension worth $34 million over the weekend. That'll keep him in a Wild sweater through the 2030-2031 season. The 27-year-old had a 31-19-6 record with a 2.56 goals against average last season. The Wild open up the 25-26 season on Thursday in St. Louis against the Blues at 7 p.m. And in MLB playoff action, the divisional series best-of-five series in the American League Game 2 last night. Toronto over New York 13-7. The Blue Jays lead that series 2-0. Seattle edged out Detroit 3-2 to tie up that series at a game apiece. Tonight in the National League, you have a couple of Game 2s. On TBS with Philadelphia hosting L.A. at 5, with the Dodgers leading that series 1-0. And then Milwaukee will welcome in the Cubbies at 8 o'clock with the Brewers leading that series 1-0.
8:11, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman. We're now joined by Jody Hudson, Rape and Abuse Crisis Center Development Director, and Sarah Stompro, who's Director of Program Services. Good morning to you, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are things going at the Rape and Abuse Crisis Center? It seems like every time we talk to you, there's more and more people needing help, Jody.
You are absolutely correct. We are seeing so many more individuals.
Yeah, we've definitely seen an increase in services over the past year or so. Our numbers continue to rise with just the violence we're seeing in our community.
Any, I guess, reasons why this would be? We're growing, we've got more people coming in, or it's just there's a lot of people that are dealing with problems in the home?
You know, I think some of it is we are identifying what violence looks like more. I think people always think about physical violence when they think about domestic violence, and understanding that violence is so much more than that. It's psychological and emotional abuse. And I'd like to think that the more that we educate people, we're seeing people reaching out for support services.
And you talk about the education. I know, Jody, we've talked with you in the past, too. You're still going into the schools and,
we are.
And teaching the students.
Yep. So our educators are teaching our red flag, green flag curriculum to second graders throughout our community, and then they are meeting those same kids again in fifth grade, and they're doing a curriculum called I Wish the Hitting Would Stop. And then we follow those kids into junior high, where we talk about, you know, it could be bullying, it could be safe dating, it could be relationships, as well as into the high school.
Now, when you guys talk about the number of cases and the people that you're interacting with, and it's increasing, would you guys say, though, that this is still percentage-wise? Because that's one thing I kind of like to look at when we come to crime, to things like that, is that if you have a 1% rate of type of specific type of crime and there's 100 people, it's 1. And if it's 1,000, it's 10. So it keeps going up. Would you say that the numbers are going up based on just population increases in the community, or is it a percentage increase? Are we seeing more cases on a percentage basis that it's going up?
It's a really great question. I think it's probably both. I think whenever you have more folks in an area, you're going to see more of whatever it is. But I also think there is just some increases in belief around use of violence and different things like that. So when we have more folks in the community, I think you're always going to see an increase.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And then when you talked about the different types of violence, I mean, obviously we know what physical violence is. We know that. When we talk about some of the other types of violence, can you give maybe some examples? Because obviously there's going to be people out there that be like, well, you know, he might be just, you know, he's just angry. He might be tired or something. What are some examples that you can use to kind of help educate people on the different types of violence that can happen inside of a domestic relationship?
Yeah, we use something called the power and control wheel a lot when we're talking to folks about what domestic violence looks like. And physical violence is only one little slice of the pie. There are seven other slices of the pie, right? And so there's financial coercion. So someone not letting you have access to funds, controlling your money, someone who is constantly putting you down, calling you names, excessive jealousy, checking in on you, where are you at? So we really think about domestic violence more abuses of power and control than physical violence, and threats of physical violence too. So if someone is hitting things next to you or slamming things next to you or threatening to harm themselves, those are also things that are tools to kind of control your behavior.
And I would imagine too, this is something hard to talk about. It's your household. It's it's your relationships.
And I think there's a lot of shame around talking about it because everybody wants to be loved, right? Everybody wants to have a caring relationship, and this is someone that they obviously care about. And so thinking that they would want to hurt them is really painful for a lot of people to talk about out loud. And so our role is really just removing the shame when we talk about it with folks in our office.
When it comes to even things like this, the Rape and Abuse Crisis Center, domestic violence, et cetera, is it a lot of times is it about increasing knowledge for people to recognize the signs, the symptoms, also maybe in an effort to maybe help that person that maybe is the aggressor to help them realize what they're doing and maybe get them help, not just taking the person that's being abused out of a specific relationship or situation?
Absolutely. So we not only safety plan and give people the tools to identify maybe what's happening in their relationship, but we also have a program called our No Violence Program, which is a group for individuals who have used violence within their relationship. Most of them are court ordered, so have been criminally charged, but not all of them. And so it is, you know, a 26-week course where they're coming in and they're looking around what their beliefs are around violence and where that started. And oftentimes it's as children. They were in violent homes, or that was just a natural part of relationships they were in. So we really kind of work through what those beliefs are and how they can start changing those beliefs.
And does that, obviously, Jody, I think it's very beneficial for you guys to be in the schools and presenting to kids. I think it's even in grade school, correct? All the way through high school?
Yep, all the way through high school. And then we're also in the colleges, too.
Okay,
so we have a counselor that is at
super important.
MSUM. Our counselors are also in area high schools, too.
Yeah. Do you see, has there been an increase in maybe those college students ages that have been contacting the program, et cetera, based on the fact that this is a lot of times these young people, this is the first time they're on their own, not only financially, time management, et cetera. This might be the first time they really get into a serious adult relationship. So have those numbers kind of gone up over the years, kind of the college age?
You know, I don't know if they've gone up, but I do know us being in the college, we're there, so more people are able to utilize us. So I think outreach is so important, and we do a really good job of being where people need us to be.
Yeah.
So whether that's in the schools, in the colleges, at shelters. We're everywhere.
And you guys are the hospitals too. If you get an emergency call, dealing with the police too.
Yep, 24/7. We respond to the local ERs or law enforcement centers.
Are you guys still in your old building?
Yes, we are.
Yes. Right, is there a fundraising campaign underway for that yet, or not yet?
No, not yet, not yet. We can dream, right? Yeah. We can dream. We've been in that building since 1977.
You have to have outgrown your needs and your space the way you...
We have. Our funding has not grown with the need. So,
are you funded?
Just we are state public? And federal. It's grant dollars, and then donations from the community. So, we're a crisis center, so we can't say we're full. You're going to have to wait.
We have to help everybody,
right?
Yeah.
And so, we might during the budgetary year, we might think, okay, we're going to see this many people, but we're seeing way more. So our services are increasing, but unfortunately, our funding is not rising to meet that need. And that's where fundraising comes in.
Right.
So, this year at the beginning of 2025, we had $500,000 funding gap.
Okay.
So we need to fill that. Mm-hmm. So we've got things to work on. And so we have our big Harvest Moon Fling coming up this week.
It's sold out already?
It is sold out.
Which is a great sign.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we have it every October for Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And, that's one time a month. I mean, you should be doing this throughout the year, but to really believe survivors, see what you can do within your community to maybe help a crisis center, volunteer, be a listener, be a good friend.
RACCFM.com, Rape and Abuse Crisis Center FM, RACCFM.com. I see there's a form there even to... make a donation if somebody would like to donate towards you.
Absolutely. You can make a donation online. Although our tickets are all sold out for the Fling, we do have an amazing silent auction. So,
are you still accepting stuff for that?
Oh, we are. We are. Up until Anna will kill me that I'm saying that. Sure.
Yeah, bring it on.
Yeah,
over.
Bring it on. So we'll open up our silent auction on Thursday. So even if you're not coming to the fundraiser, you can help that way as well. And you can bid online.
Great.
So you just visit our website.
So everything's being uploaded to your website by Anna?
Yeah. Thank you, Anna.
You're the best.
That's awesome.
You guys always have the fashion show in the spring then, too, correct?
Yep.
And then you're also part of Giving Hearts Day, right?
We are.
Mm-hmm. And so you guys have been doing those two things for a while as well.
Yep, for a long time. We've been doing the fashion year for, over a decade. And that's every spring. And then, of course, we have Giving Hearts Day in February.
Yeah.
And then we can throw in a purse bingo in February as well.
Yeah,
and we're doing that this year on Valentine's Day. So that's always
that.
A fun way to get out on a February morning and have some mimosas and a good brunch with your friends and win some purses.
Well, and to help raise money for a great cause, too. Where does the money go to that you're raising at Harvest Moon Fling and the other
events? It's going to go to operations to help fill that funding gap this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we are so grateful. We have some donors that have provided quite a match. So we're excited.
Now, I know you deal with children, too. Rape and Abuse Crisis Center. Do you guys take donations too, of like crayons and things for the kids to do, or clothing or anything like that?
Yeah, we're currently running a hygiene drive right now. So we're always collecting things such as blankets, hygiene products, shampoo, conditioner, deodorant, things like that, to help people meet their basic needs or give them something warm, stuffed animals for children, blankets for children. We really appreciate giving them something.
Books.
Books. So any of those things. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of capacity for taking on clothing because our building size.
Space is tight,
but we'll take coats with colder weather approaching.
Yeah. Well, and you have the resources to connect with other agencies that do that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So the stuff that you can take, do people just drop it off at the Rape and Abuse Crisis Center?
Between the Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, they can drop things off or they can call in and let us know what they'd like to bring and we can coordinate a way to get the
items. You guys, as you said, you're still in your old building over by Sanctuary Events Center, just off the downtown area.
Yep. We're also looking for pet fosters, too, if anybody is interested in fostering.
Tell us more about that.
Well, Sarah and I worked on a grant, and so many times someone might stay in a relationship because they don't want to leave their animals. And so Basically, we have foster families, foster individuals that will take care of those dogs or cats.
So you have a list of this person will take in cats, dogs, reptiles, or whatever.
And then we partner with some of our local agencies to ensure that we can get them up to date on their vaccinations or any medical care that they might need to keep them safe while that person is finding a safe place for them long term.
Well, you're doing incredible work here in our community. Anything else you want to get out?
Thank you for having us.
Thanks to the community for continuing to
support Raytheon Crisis Center. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it is a we couldn't do it without you.
Right.
So, couldn't keep our doors open all 24 hours a day. You know, we are the only crisis center, and I.
Where's the Bismarck, or where's the next closest one?
Grand Forks.
There's one in Grand Forks. Okay.
Yep.
But still.
And we're a crisis center. We do not have a sheltering component.
Right.
And so we are the largest non-sheltering crisis center in the state of North Dakota. So we serve Cass, Clay, Trail, and Wilkin counties.
Okay. Well, that's good stuff to know. Mm-hmm. And again, the auction starts this Thursday.
Yes, it does. Just come on over to our website, raccfm.com, and there'll be a link for you.
Yeah, and if you need more information, you want to make a financial donation, you can do it that way, too. All right, Jody, Sarah, thanks for coming in studio with us.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. It is 8:23, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Time now to get to the American Ag Network. 8:26 coming up tomorrow morning on Flatland Music Flashback. We're going to be showcasing this artist back in 1968. He performed the Star-Spangled Banner before the fifth game of the World Series between the Tigers and the Cardinals. Many, many people did not like it. Radio stations refused to play this because of its slow delivery. Funny thing is, that performance, if you read the comments now on YouTube video, many people say it's the most beautiful rendition ever heard. Any guesses, Ronnie Lee, on that? You're Googling.
Oh my goodness.
Were you just Googling over there?
Yeah, I was trying to find out who it was.
No.
I'm curious.
It's not a name that would come to you at top of mind. Like, I mean, he was big, and I loved his stuff. But
Stevie Wonder.
No, but
it's definitely not Carl Lewis.
She's not bad, though. That's not a bad guess, Janae.
Zamfir, master of the pan flute?
No.
I guess Charlie Pride.
No. No, no. Your first guess was probably maybe a little better, but you're not bad on your guesses. But yeah, tune in tomorrow morning, 6:56, Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo. Music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. She brought her thinking cap this morning.
Yes, yes.
I always do.
And it was a guitarist. Okay, I'll be interested to hear that. Yeah.
Singer, too.
Does it say what year?
68. Guitarist and singer.
Okay.
No, not Jimi Hendrix. No, no, you were closer on your first guesses. Did you guys do your homework? I texted both of them on Friday. I was watching some Netflix documentaries.
No, I didn't get to it yet.
I do want to see
that. But I will. Yes, I will.
The boy on the train. That is such a weird story. And it's like I said, it's a documentary. So it legitimately happened, in which this family, a very odd family, train wreck balloon boy. They built a spaceship. The dad is very eccentric. He reminds me of the guy from Back to the Future, the crazy scientist.
Doc or whatever.
Yeah. It is insane. That was one of the two. And even as a legit news story, Ed Schultz reported on this story. I didn't remember it. I'm like, there's Eddie on a news piece about this weird family, because it became a huge news story.
National
at the
story.
Time. Forgot all about it, but it's like that family is very interesting.
So was it somebody from around the region?
Colorado, this happened. Like, I'm not kidding you. Okay. This family with this dad built this legit spaceship. And the thing is, they thought their six-year-old son got carried away. So in this spaceship, it had helium. It was helium powered.
It was a balloon boy.
It was a balloon, helium powered, but it looked like a spaceship. Like you would think a spaceship looks like.
No, I'm going to watch it this week.
It was in the air for over 2 hours. It's less than an hour long, so I recommend it on Netflix if anybody wants to check
it out. But we did start watching the monster, the Ed Gein story.
Oh, yeah.
I won't watch anymore. It's, I knew the story, right? It was too disturbing for me.
The Jeffrey Dahmer one I didn't think was good, and I knew that story reporting news over the years. Mm-hmm. Ed Gein would have been before my time, but after a little bit of Jeffrey Dahmer, I'm like, no, I don't need to watch this because I know the legit story.
We watched one episode.
I might sample it.
And I'm like, I can't. I'm not going to watch any more of this.
Okay. Lots of stuff out there. All right. What are you guys doing in the coffee club today?
Today's Monday. We're going to play Janae and Ronnie's categories with Wysocki today. We're going to talk about outdated marriage beliefs. We'll see what's on that list.
Start some fights this morning on the coffee
Sometimes
club.
Ronnie and I see things very differently.
I think I'll leave the room for that segment.
And then Mondays, we have Small Business Monday. Today, we're going to be visiting with Little Bits Pumpkin Patch. We're going to be visiting with Tim. So lots of fun.
All right, looking forward to it. Jace, let's get out of here.
All right, you betcha.
Bonnie and friends, we'll be back 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. Have yourselves a great day and stay tuned for the Coffee Club with Janae and Ronnie.